All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from this.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here until 5 o'clock. And it is Friday, so that means all the regular Friday features will be happening. We've got Fly Jams Friday with your DJ Luscious Hushes. So get your requests in, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We end our show on a funky note and start off your weekend with some Fly Jams. So that's coming up. We also have You Big Dummy. You Big Dummy is where we read actual news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. We read 5 news stories of people just being dumb, and so then we'll vote on who's the biggest dummy. That's coming up. We also have Straight Out of Context. Straight Out of Context, as you know, you guys participate in these segments. Straight Out of Context is when you listen to this radio station 24/7, and whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle a little bit, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. nickdshow@gmail.com. And then that goes for Nick D Show Spies as well. That's when you listen to this radio station. And whenever anybody at any time says something about me or mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it, you become a spy. You jot all the info down, and again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. So all the regular Friday features coming up later on in the show. Sunday is Mother's Day, so we are going to talk about Mother's Day, and we'll talk about best movie moms, worst movie moms, and most memorable TV moms, as we do pretty much every year, and have a lot of fun talking about fictional and entertainment moms. And we'll do that in honor of Mother's Day. Phone lines, as always, are open. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with Jeff Tuckman, who was in the PPG Paints green room. And Jeff Tuckman hasn't been on for a while. It's been a while because we transitioned between producers, and it took a little time to get everything going. So we took a little time off with Jeff, but Jeff will be back now for his monthly visits on a regular basis. And as you know, Jeff comes bearing gifts, and we've given some stuff away. And also, as you know, Jeff will answer questions, DVD-related questions, Blu-ray questions, tech questions, wondering when something is coming out, a release date on that. Jeff can help you out on that. And also, one of the other things that we do between me and Jeff, and now I've got a producer who's actually a movie expert who can help out. If you can't think of the name of a movie and it's driving you crazy, you call us up and describe it to us or tell us who's in it or the plot or anything that you remember. And if we don't know it, certainly the listeners do. We have a very, very high batting average getting those right. So if you can't think of the title of a movie and you want to know it and it's driving you crazy, call us at 312-981-7200. Any and all movie DVD release related questions as well. Jeff is here to help out. And then we'll tell you about what Jeff brought to give away. It's really awesome. And we'll tell you how you can win. So start calling up right now with your movie-related questions. Can't think of the title of a movie, Blu-ray, DVD stuff, tech stuff. Text or call us right now at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let me say hello to my producer, Tom Hush. Tom, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Good. So glad to be here with Jeff.
Yeah, it was our first time working with Jeff, which
I know.
Is cool.
Very, He's a very legend.
Cool. He is. You got plans for the weekend?
Yeah, actually, we'll be going to the Cub game today.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, a friend came to me, said, hey,
What do you go every Friday now?
I guess so. This is what happens to me. People just, they know I'm a Cub fan. And, you know.
Well, that's nice, man.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
If only it wasn't the day games, so I get 3 hours of sleep and then I'm off to the races.
Exactly. I'll be watching it from home, I think. I might be up at that hour.
Should I bring a sign? You know, Nick D show?
No, don't do that.
Okay.
You'll just embarrass yourself because, you know, you're associating yourself with my show. That's a... Well, that's cool. It sounds like a great kickoff to the weekend. Let's see. And in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
Jealous.
Jealous because he's going to the game.
Yeah, I'll be like you. Well, I'll be watching it on my couch.
Yeah, but you're going to have to put up with your significant other.
Yeah, and guess what?
Yeah.
She has decided to work from home tomorrow.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes. And what do you
for
think?
For people, you explain, Jeannie.
Well, she's a Brewers fan. She's from Racine.
Yeah.
So she's a Packers fan, a Brewers fan. And so, yeah, she knows the Cubs are in first place and the Brewers are in second, and she decided to work from home tomorrow.
Oh, look at that. You're going to have a fun weekend.
Well, you know what? I think we're going to beat them, so I'm looking forward to
it. Well, I hope so, because they're on a tear. Cubs are on a tear, man. Boy, it's nice to see Bryant's bat alive again. And Rizzo is just amazing. I mean, look, the heart of their order is killing it, man. Yu Darvish needs a little assistance. What did he throw, 95 pitches in 4 innings?
That's a lot of work.
No, I think I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was a lot. And he only gave up one run, but he barely found the strike zone the entire time he was in.
I'm watching it over again right now. They're replaying it.
Well, KB and Rizzo both went yard. And that's technically Rizzo's 200th home run in a Cub uniform.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, because he hit one in San Diego. That's why the other night when he hit the home run, it was his 200th home run. But he hit one home run in San Diego.
Wow.
That was his 199th in the Cub uniform. But yesterday he solved that, and he has now hit 201 home runs total, 200
awesome.
In a Cub uniform.
Congratulations to Rizzo.
Yeah, he's having a great year.
Yep.
He's one of my favorites, man.
Oh, for sure.
So it'll be a fun weekend. Try to survive, Vic, against okay. against the Milwaukee onslaught.
I might light your phone up if we start losing. Come on, man, help me out. You got an extra spot in your couch?
Yeah, I'm going to put you on speaker. Talk some smack to Jeannie.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll happen. All right, it looks like it's going to be a fun weekend. Milwaukee in town with the Cubs. That'll be great. Got the Sox games being broadcast right here on WGN. So it's all going to be great. And again, later on, we're going to talk about Mother's Day and movie moms, TV moms, and everything in between. And all of our regular features for Friday morning will begin. But as I said, Jeff Tuckman is about to join us. And again, any and all DVD, Blu-ray, tech-related questions, you can't think of the title of a movie, text us, call us right now. Jeff's here to help. 312-981-7200. Let's make it official.
It's time to fire up that 16-millimeter projector.
It was available on VHS at one time.
The Nick DiGilio Show presents your international man of movie mystery.
I tell you, I'm a magnet. I'm a magnet. Nick, I don't know. It's just a video craze.
I'm assuming that maybe you should do the Howard Stern Show at some point.
Tuckman. Jeff Tuckman.
Yeah. It's Jeff is back. We haven't talked to Jeff in a while. Again, Jeff Tuckman is our DVD video guy. He will answer any and all of your questions related to movies and Blu-rays and DVD and text and when is something coming out. And again, can't think of the title of a movie. Describe it for us or give us what you can and we'll help you get that that title for you. 312-981-7200. And let's welcome Jeff to the show. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Nick. How you been?
It's been a while.
It has been.
We went through a transition. As you know, Dan Shugrue has left the show.
Yes.
Needed to take some time. Needed to take some time off. He was burning the candle at both ends. And so he decided he was going to step away. And then we went through a sort of a transition period where we had different people producing the show every night. And so we wanted to keep, you know, everything until we got on our footing again. And I now have a really great producer, Tom Hush, who I get along with fantastically, and he does a fantastic job. So that's Tom. Jeff. So he's here. So.
Yes, I like Tom. We had met tonight, and I'm sure that we'll have a great time together.
Absolutely. So welcome back, and so you know, you've been in the video business since the prehistoric age, correct?
From its inception, I actually helped the very first video stores. Yes, we used to have video stores in Chicago. We had lots and lots and lots of video
not just
stores.
Blockbuster and West Coast, but like tons of like independent video stores that were owned by just people.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's how the video business started, actually. Yeah. You'd have people who were collecting who decided that, you know, I'd like to go into business.
Right.
And so, because there weren't any chains in the beginning.
No.
There were individual stores.
You know what I remember? I remember the individual stores popping up, but I also remember Photomat.
Oh, yes.
Used to rent videos. You can pull up the Photomat, and I remember one of the ones that they always were trying to push, and you'll probably remember this because you've been in the business for such a long time, Jeff. One of the ones that I remember was like really pushed all the time if you wanted to drive through the Photomat was this movie called The Clonus Horror. You remember The Clonus Horror?
Yes, I do.
That was one that they couldn't give it away, I think, and that was they were pushing that movie, and it's a terrible movie, and they were pushing that movie. But yeah, it goes all the way back to that. Remember, Photomats are gone too. So
yeah, it was. I think they had an exclusive deal with Paramount.
Oh, that's what it was.
And
right.
So they had all the Paramount good films, great films,
and bad films. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it's amazing the transformation to today. Let's face it. If you want to rent a movie, yes, the word rent a movie, there's one chain left in Chicago, people, you know what they're doing. They're going to Redbox.
Well, that's my dad works at the Jewels. Yeah. As you know, he works at the Jewels on Irving and Narragansett.
And they have it.
They have a Redbox out front. My dad says it's unbelievably popular. Like, people are constantly renting from there and returning, and it's only like a buck, right, for a movie?
Yeah, it's $1.50.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, if you think about it, you have drugstores, department stores. I mean, they're...
And then, of course, you know, like, you've seen the landscape of how we consume movies, how it's completely changed now, with streaming and watching online and, you know, video on demand. Just people have access to libraries of movies via their computer and via their TV and their cable.
And they have the library.
And DVDs and Blu-rays are still selling. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Jeff, tell everybody what you brought. This is fantastic. And I know people who are listening right now are going to be like, oh, my God, I have to win this. Jeff always brings really cool stuff. What do we got tonight to give away?
Well, in honor of Audrey Hepburn,
I believe
the beginning of May was her birthday.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be really cool. This is a 7 movie collection of I think her best movies, and it's kind of cool, Nick, because there are different studios involved here. It isn't just, you know, usually you have
one studio who puts these out, right?
And if you think about it, I think Audrey Hepburn only made 16 films.
She didn't make a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But they were memorable ones, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, they are. And we're giving away 7 of them tonight.
It's the Audrey Hepburn 7 Movie Collection. And the films are Breakfast at Tiffany's, Funny Face, My Fair Lady, Paris When It Sizzles, Roman Holiday, Sabrina, and War and Peace. That ain't too shabby.
That's great.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give one away now. We've got 3 total to give away. So listen closely. Jeff is going to ask you a question. This is a trivia question. And if you are the first person in with the correct answer, you will win yourself a copy of the Audrey Hepburn 7 Movie Collection, which not only has the 7 movies, but it's got extras and all kinds of cool stuff. So, Jeff, what's our first question before we break?
Audrey Hepburn was nominated 5 times for Best Actress, and she only won once. Give us the names of the 5 films along with the one that she won the Oscar for.
Okay. Once again, she was nominated 5 times for Best Actress. She won once. Name the 5 films and tell us the one where she actually won the Oscar. 5 films that she was nominated for and the winner. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. First person through with the correct answer will win the 7 Movie Collection of Audrey Hepburn. Jeff, hang on for a second. We're going to break, and we'll come back with your questions, more comments, and a winner.
Drifters off to see the world. There's such a lot of world to see.
We're after lovely Audrey Hepburn. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Friday, all the Friday features coming up. Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. Plus, Mother's Day is Sunday, so we're going to celebrate that, talk a little bit about Mother's Day and moms on TV and in movies. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And if you have any questions for Jeff Tuckman, when is something coming out on DVD, Blu-ray questions, tech questions. Also, you can't think of the title of a movie, but if you can call in or text us and describe it, we can help you. 312-981-7200. Jeff, welcome back.
Good to be back.
All right. We are giving away this morning. We have three sets of the Audrey Hepburn 7 movie collection, which features Breakfast at Tiffany's, Funny Face, My Fair Lady, Paris When It Sizzles, Roman Holiday, Sabrina, and War and Peace. And, Jeff, it didn't take long to get an answer, right? I mean, Tom, wasn't it, like, very, like, ridiculously fast?
Yeah, he was quick.
Very, very
His
quick.
Man was quick.
Let's repeat the question, and then we'll get our answer and give away our first set here.
Audrey Hepburn was nominated 5 times for Best Actress, and she won once. Give us the names of the 5 films along with the one she won the Oscar for.
All right. Ed's in Wheeling. Ed, what's the answer?
Okay, here we go. Roman Holiday, Sabrina, The Nun Story, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and Wait Until Dark. And she won for Roman Holiday back in 1954.
You got it.
That's exactly right, Ed. You a fan of Audrey Hepburn, obviously?
You know, I remember seeing Wait Until Dark when I was in college back in the late 60s.
Yeah.
And it left an impression.
It certainly did. And it does have one of the biggest jump scares in the history of movies.
That's true.
Yeah, when that fridge door is open and Alan Arkin comes flying across the across the room. It's pretty cool, man. So you got it. 7 great movies with Audrey Hepburn, all kinds of extras. Congratulations, Ed. Hang on so we can get your info, okay, buddy?
Thanks so much, guys.
Oh, no, thank you, Ed. There you go. That was quick.
Well, people love Audrey Hepburn.
Well, we got 2 more to give away, everybody. Be patient, listen closely, answer the question, and you could win, too. Jeff, hang on, okay?
You got it.
All right, Jeff Tuckman is here. We got a break for the news, but we also want to hear from you. Questions that you have about DVDs and movies and tech and Blu-ray. You can't think of the title of a movie. Describe it. We'll help you out. That's what we do when Jeff is here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The news is coming up right after this.
Could have danced all night.
You must be dead.
I could have danced all night.
Your eyes are red.
And still
now say goodnight.
Have
please,
begged
please,
for
please
more.
It's really time for you to be in bed.
I could have spread my wings.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here till 5 o'clock Friday, so that means all the Friday features will be coming up later on. Mother's Day is Sunday, so we're going to talk about Mother's Day and movie moms, TV moms, and in the entertainment world. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And if you have any questions... for Jeff. Jeff Tuckman is with us. That's why we played the Audrey Hepburn, because we're giving away the Audrey Hepburn 7 movie collection, which includes Breakfast at Tiffany's, Funny Face, Paris When It Sizzles, Roman Holiday, Sabrina, War and Peace, and what you just heard there, My Fair Lady. Jeff, welcome back, Jeff.
Good to be here, Nick.
312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us for any tech-related questions or movie-related questions. And also, if you can't think of the title of a movie, describe it for us, and we can probably help you out with that, too. If we don't know it, certainly our listeners probably will. So I'm trying to think of what Audrey Hepburn's last movie was, because she was in...
I know what it is.
What is it? Was it Always?
It was Always.
Was it Always, the Spielberg movie?
The Spielberg movie.
Yeah. By the way, that's a vastly underrated Steven Spielberg movie. I thought that movie was really terrific.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it didn't go over well as big as some of Spielberg's other movies, but I really liked it. And I loved her in it. She made a nice appearance in that, but that was her last movie, Always.
Yeah. And he really wanted her to do that. You know, she didn't really want to, she was involved in so many other things. That acting was the last thing on her mind.
Yeah. And she hadn't, she did, you know, she was in Peter Bogdanovich's movie, They All Laughed. That was in the early 80s.
Oh, yes.
And
I
then
remember.
She did a TV movie, and then Always. But there was a big break because she, 67, she did Wait Until Dark. She didn't do Robin and Marion until 76, which is, by the way, a great movie. Tom, have you ever seen Robin and Marian with Sean Connery and Audrey Hepburn.
I have not had the pleasure.
Really a terrific movie. Mm-hmm. It really is terrific. She was in Bloodline. They All Laughed. Love Among Thieves was a TV movie, and her last movie was Always. Yeah, she didn't make a ton of movies.
No.
She made a big impression with not a huge, you know, because you know, some of the people that you go to their IMDb page, it's like nine. You got to scroll down 50 feet to see all their credits. This, not so much.
Well, you know, it's like anything else, Nick. In Hollywood, there's you rarely hear about all the roles that different actors or actresses turned down.
Yeah. And also, she was an activist too. She did a lot of work as an activist. You know, the other night, Jeff, I was lucky enough to have screened Alfred Hitchcock's North by Northwest.
Oh, great!
We had a really big crowd, and everybody lived. It was so fantastic to see on the big screen. I mean, the crop duster scene and the Mount Rushmore sequence, amazing on the big screen, absolutely amazing. And we had a really big crowd, and that reminds me, you know, the reason I bring that up is because Cary Grant's in it. Cary Grant was in Charade with Audrey Hepburn, which was a really great movie. But she was an amazing actress and just beauty, just an actual beauty. So we got the 7 movie collection to give away, but first we've got some people who are calling in and texting in with some questions. Let's see what we can do here. Here's Rick on WGN. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, what's up?
There's a great movie if you like horses and great scenery. Stars Don Johnson. It was when the Army was changing over from horses into mechanized Army. The Army decided they were going to shoot all the horses. Don Johnson steals them and takes them up into Canada.
And do you know, you're trying to figure out the name of this movie?
Yeah.
Do you know how old it is?
I think it's in the 70s, early 80s.
70s or early 80s.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know that one offbeat offhand. Do you know it, Tom?
Yeah, that's In Pursuit of Honor.
In Pursuit of Honor.
Yeah, it's actually from 1995. It was made for cable.
Oh, made for cable. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are sometimes hard to find.
Pursuit of Honor.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In Pursuit of Honor. I will say this though, you know, because sometimes these TV movies, you know, they don't really get a good DVD or Blu-ray release, a lot of them, but it's In Pursuit of Honor from 1995, and it is actually available on Prime Video. So if you subscribe to Prime Video, you can watch it, and I'm sure it's available on video on demand. So just look for it that way, Rick.
Okay.
All right,
that's
buddy.
A good idea.
Take care.
Thank you much.
All right, there you go. In Pursuit of Honor. Good old Don Johnson.
Don Johnson's a very good actor.
You remember the, what was the name of the movie? Dead Bang. You ever see Dead Bang?
Oh, it's a good movie.
You ever see that one time?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
One of my favorite scenes ever is he's an alcoholic in the movie. He's a cop. He's an alcoholic cop in the movie. And it's if John Frankenheimer directed it, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he did, didn't he? It was Frankenheimer, yeah. But here's the one thing that I remember about, the one thing that I clearly remember about that movie. He's a total souse in the movie. And he gets hammered one night and then has to get up because they're going to raid this house where these drug dealers or whatever. I don't remember the details, but he gets loaded the night before, like completely loaded, and he wakes up and he's completely hungover. This is the one thing that I remember about the movie. I remember liking the movie, but the thing I remember the most, which I thought was like a great realistic touch, because if you are severely hungover, the last thing you need to do is get into a foot chase in the middle of the summer. And that's exactly what happens when they do the raid. He's still screwed up from the night before, and he looks terrible. And he obviously, if you have like a massive hangover and you're still a little bit drunk, that is an awful feeling. And so he gets in there. They do the raid, and then some dude runs. So he's got to chase him. So he's doing a foot chase for a long time, and he finally gets the guy. He tackles him. He flips the guy over and vomits all over him. It's one of my favorite. I'm telling you, I was like, yes, of course that, you know, because when you see cop movies or something like that, and someone is drinking, and they get completely loaded, and the next day they're running around like it's okay, you know, and there's no after effects. I just thought that was like, yes, of course he's going to vomit on this guy. And then the guy, because he knocked the guy out, and the guy wakes up, and he's like, did you puke on me? And I was like, man, that's a nice touch. That's a nice little detail that they threw in there. Nice job, Frankenheimer. So, okay. Audrey Hepburn was a wonderful actress. Let's give away another set of the 7 movie collection. Listen closely, everybody. First person through who can answer this question will get a great copy of the 7 movie collection featuring Audrey Hepburn.
Tell us the name of the famous actor who was originally offered the role of Alfred Doolittle in My Fair Lady. He pulled out of the film at the last minute, and Rex Harrison was chosen to reprise his role that he performed on Broadway. It would have been a whole different type of movie.
Yeah.
But who is the actor?
Who was the actor who was originally offered the role of Doolittle in My Fair Lady? He turned it down, and then he didn't turn it down. He pulled out of the film at the last minute. And then Rex Harrison, who did it on Broadway, got the part. But who was the original actor? A very, very famous actor. Who was the original actor who was offered the role of Doolittle and then pulled out at the last minute? And this is crazy. I can't believe this is true.
It is.
Okay. All right. I trust you. But it just seemed, and you're not kidding, it would have been a completely different movie. And we'll tell you why it would have been a completely different movie when we get the answer. Okay, first person through, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Who was the original actor who was offered the role of Doolittle in My Fair Lady? And then Rex Harrison had to fill in for this famous actor. All right, Jeff, hang on, okay?
You got it.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have an answer to that question. We got yet another set of the Audrey Hepburn movies to give away. And we want you to call in and text in with your questions about Blu-ray, DVD. If you're looking for something that's coming out on DVD, Jeff's going to give us all that in a preview of what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray and when those releases and all that cool stuff. So that's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. Hi, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And all right, Jeff Tuckman is here. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Nick.
We're back. We're giving away Audrey Hepburn, a set of Audrey Hepburn movies. The Audrey Hepburn 7 movie collection. By the way, we made a little mistake on the trivia question. We said, tell us the name of the famous actor who was offered the role of Alfred Doolittle in My Fair Lady that Rex Harrison would go on to play. But we got the name of the character wrong. It's Henry Higgins.
Yes, Henry, right.
Yeah, Henry Higgins is the character that Rex Harrison played. So this actor, this famous actor, was actually offered Henry Higgins, pulled out at the last minute, and Rex Harrison ended up playing it. So that was the question that we had. Here is Al on WGN. Hi, Al.
Hello.
Yeah. What's the answer?
James Cagney.
It would have been a whole different movie with him in there, right?
Yeah, completely. Completely different. Yeah, very strange casting for that one. But, he was a singer and a hoofer. We all know that. I mean, you know,
that's
James,
true.
Absolutely, man. Yankee Doodle Dandy. That guy can do it all. James Cagney can do it all. All right, you an Audrey Hepburn fan, Al?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of her movies. I've seen Always.
All right. Well, there you go. That's not part of the package, but hang on, Al. We'll get your information, and you will be our next winner of the Audrey Hepburn 7 movie collection that we've been giving away this morning. A really, really great actress, Audrey Hepburn. All right. Let's see. 773 area code says, help me with a movie I saw years ago in the 70s. All I can recall is some guy being chased by two big black custom recreation Winnebagos with black tinted windows. Also, one wound up in a swimming pool. That's not ringing any bells for me. Maybe somebody who's listening knows. Once again, I will describe it, and if you know, text us or call us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Again, help me with a movie that I saw years ago in the 70s. All I can recall is some guy being chased by two big black custom recreation Winnebagos with black tinted windows. Also, remember, one of them wound up in a swimming pool. Whenever I think of Winnebagos, there's two movies that I immediately think of. Whenever somebody mentions Winnebagos, two movies immediately. Lost in America with yes. Albert Brooks and Julie Haggerty, where they're driving around in that stupid Winnebago, But I Want to Touch Indians, which is one of the funniest movies ever made. And the other one is Race with the Devil. Race with the Devil.
Oh, yes.
Classic 70s car movie. Tom, have you seen Race with the Devil?
I have, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's wild.
It's legendary. Not Henry Fonda. Yeah, it's Henry Fonda. Peter Fonda, Warren Oates, Loretta Swit. And they witness a satanic sacrifice during a ritual. And they're just, for the rest of the movie, is it just a chase. And then they get killed at the end. Because like the ending is, they get surrounded by fire. The Satanists are all there. They surround the Winnebago with fire, and that's how it ends. I love that movie. That is a classic 70s movie.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, like classic 70s B-movie, drive-in movie. I saw it, like, I can't tell you the number of times I saw that movie. I love Race with the Devil. So, all right, that's what I think of when I think Winnebago. But, yeah, one more time, I'll describe it. If you guys, anybody out there, 312-981-7200. It's a movie I saw years ago in the 70s. All I can recall is some guy being chased by two big black custom recreation Winnebagos with black tinted windows, and one ends up in a swimming pool. Okay.
All right.
Jeff, what do we got coming out in the next few weeks or so?
Well,
You know what? I'm sorry. Let's give away the last, before we do that, let's give away the last movie set. Audrey Hepburn, 7 movie collection. This is our last one to give away, so listen closely. First person through with the correct answer at 312-981-7200 will win our final copy of the Audrey Hepburn collection. Okay.
Truman Capote was not pleased when the studio decided to cast Audrey Hepburn in the starring role in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Who did he want for the role that he pushed so hard for?
Okay, so who did he want to play that role in Breakfast at Tiffany's? He wasn't happy. Truman Capote, the author of the book, was not happy that they chose Audrey Hepburn. He wanted somebody else. Who did he want? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about what's coming out, what people can look forward to.
Well, this week, the whole family can enjoy the Lego movie, the second part.
I was really, really disappointed that movie did not make as much money as it should have. Like, it did not make nearly as much money as the first one, but it was every bit as good as the first one. It's a terrific movie.
It was timing, Nick. That's all it was.
Yeah.
It should have done much better. You're right. Also this week, a movie I thought was pretty funny, What Men Want.
With Taraji P. Henson, where they switched the roles from the Mel Gibson movie from a bunch of years ago.
Yeah, she can hear men's thoughts.
Right.
And,
right.
Tracy Morgan's in the film. I thought it was pretty funny movie. It's going to rent real well. Also, this week, the 3 high school musicals available on a 3 movie collection.
Okay.
Which,
all right.
You know, a lot of fans out there.
For all you Zac Efron fans out there.
Oh, yeah. And also one of my favorite, George Carlin. I've loved George Carlin for many, many, many years. And there's 40 years of comedy. Yes, he was in there for 40 years, and this was his 10th special for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And it was filmed at the Wheeler Theater in Aspen. And not only do you have him performing live, you've got highlights from his career and, you know, hippy-dippy weatherman,
sure,
all the things that Carlin did.
Yep.
He was absolutely great.
He was one of the greatest stand-ups of all time. If second only, in my opinion, second only to Richard Pryor. Pryor is the best stand-up comedian that ever lived, and maybe the funniest man that ever lived.
What about that watermelon guy?
And then, which watermelon guy?
Who's the guy?
Gallagher. Yeah, well, yeah. Watermelon guy.
Yeah, that's all I know him as.
Oh, man.
I've seen Gallagher live, actually.
Oh, yeah? Was it him or his brother?
It actually was him.
Okay. Because did you know the story?
He's got a brother?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he filed lawsuits against him because he was touring as Gallagher, too.
Yes.
And doing his act. And doing smashing watermelons and doing that, you know. Yeah, there was a big rift between them, a lawsuit. I'm not kidding.
Can you believe that there's two sets of Gallagher brothers that hate each other?
First of all, how disappointing is it that you went to go see Gallagher in the first place? And then how disappointing if you find out it's Gallagher 2. It's not even the real Gallagher. It's a different Gallagher.
It's like you go to see The Fly, and it's The Fly 2.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Eric Stoltz pops up on screen. We had a trivia question. What was it? I think we have an answer.
Truman Capote was not pleased when the studio decided to cast Audrey Hepburn in the starring role in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Who did Capote want for the role that he pushed so hard for?
All right. Paula, I believe you have the answer.
Yes, hi. Marilyn Monroe.
That's who he wanted.
That's
very,
exactly,
very
right. Marilyn Monroe he wanted. And Audrey Hepburn ended up being classic in the film. All right, Paula, congratulations. You've got our last copy of the 7 movie collection with Audrey Hepburn.
Thank
Audrey Hepburn.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Hang on a second. We'll get your information off the air. Okay, Jeff, what else we got coming up?
Well, it's funny. You had mentioned the drive-in. One of the things I was talking about this week, it's available. It's called At the Drive-In.
At the Drive-In.
At the Drive-In. And it shows you
really, is it a documentary?
A documentary that is really, really, really good. You know, the drive-ins were extremely popular, as you well know,
yeah,
Nick. But once they decided to go digital or whatever, you know, it's the magic of movies wasn't there.
Well, it's also. I mean, I miss drive-ins, man. I used to go to the drive-in all the time, and it was a very special experience. And there's a whole generation of people who've never even been to a drive-in or don't even know what they are. My friend Mike Kurz, who runs Flashback Horror Convention, he and his wife Mia and their family run the Midway Drive-In in Sterling, Illinois, and they had to raise a bunch of money to switch to digital, you know, because they were doing film. But they're open. They're open tonight and tomorrow. I think they've got Avengers. I think they've had Avengers playing out there. But there are just only a few drive-ins left, and that's too bad. And a lot of it has to do with real estate.
Yes.
And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they just went out of they went out of sorts, and it's really too bad because it's great. So this is called At the Drive-In. It's available now.
Yeah, and what I like about this, they didn't want to give up the people. So what they did was because their projectors are from like 1949.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that they only have 35 millimeter film prints.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is kind of neat. And there's so I also want to mention, Nick, that 4K is still producing more and more films. And again, if you haven't had it yet, go out and get a player. The movies are, they don't only do they look good, they sound great. And stores are starting to carry a little bit more inventory.
Yeah.
I was in one Sunday and they kind of doubled their inventory. So I know it's a little hard to find. But it's happening, and people are still buying movies. And believe it or not, Nick, you would automatically think that Blu-ray is outselling the regular DVD. Not true.
Yeah.
The regular movies are still selling very, very well, and people are buying. I mean, yes, today you and I have talked about it many times. There are many more options for you. You can sit on your couch and watch movies when it opens up the theater.
Right.
Their movies.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm actually going to do that this weekend, tonight probably. There's a couple of movies that are debuting in theaters and on VOD, and I can just watch it in my house. But I mean, there's the 4K stuff is pretty amazing. It really is, and to have that in your home is great. Because when I show my screenings at the film club, we insist that we do 4K, that it's digital 4K. We won't show anything less than that. And North by Northwest was breathtaking in 4K. It was just unbelievable. It's a movie that's made to be seen like that. And to have that in your home is pretty crazy. All right. If people have questions and they couldn't get through, Jeff, you have an email address, and you'd be happy to answer some DVD, Blu-ray, or tech questions?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yourmediaman@AT&T.net.
Yourmediaman@AT&T.net. And everybody, thanks for calling in, and hope we help some people out. If anybody knows that Winnebago movie, that mystery is still out there. The tinted windowed Winnebagos that are chasing some guy and one ends up in a swimming pool. If anybody knows that, you can continue to either text us or try to let us know what that is. All right, we are going to take a break, and we got the news coming up next. Jeff, always a pleasure, and I will see you next month.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, cool. All right, Jeff Tuckman is here, and we're going to talk about the South Asian Film Festival with its director right after the news. We'll be talking with him about this really cool South Asian Film Festival that will be happening. The news is up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday, so that means we are going to have our regular features, Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spives, You Big Dummy, and all that other fun stuff here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. All right, coming up in September 19th through the 22nd, the 10th annual, celebrating their 10th anniversary, the Chicago South Asian Film Festival will be happening. The website is CS, csaff.org, csaff.org. And it's dedicated to showcasing South Asian films. And it's been around now. This is its 10th year. And we wanted to have the festival manager on to talk about the festival, which is coming up, like I said, in September. But they are accepting submissions now. So if you are a filmmaker and you're interested in showcasing your film as part of the Chicago South Asian Film Festival, well, we'll give you all the details on that and tell you all about the festival. The guest right now that we're going to talk to, festival manager, is Jagur Shah. And we welcome Jagur to the show. How are you?
Hey, thank you. I am good. How are you doing?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Tell me about yourself. Where are you originally from?
Sure. I'm originally from India. Mm-hmm.
You live in Chicago now?
Yes, I live in Chicago. Been in Chicago for the last 11 years. So proud to be a Chicagoan now.
Mm-hmm. And did you get into filmmaking? Do you make films yourself?
Well, I don't right now, but being in the festival, managing the festival for the last couple of years, you know, definitely that's on the mind. That's on the horizon.
Yeah. Were you a fan of film in India? I would imagine you would be, considering you're from India. And
yeah, I'm a big movie buff, big movie fan.
So when did you, this started 10 years ago. Who put the Chicago South Asian Film Festival together? How did it come together?
Sure. So Chicago South Asian Film Festival was founded by the two visionaries, Amit Rana and Keetki Parikh. They are the founders of this festival. And, you know, it started in 2010, and this is our 10th year. I joined the festival in 2015 and been managing and handling the festival since then.
And has it grown over the years? I would imagine over the years you get more submissions and more guests and more films, things like that.
Yes, tremendously. So we were really excited and we were really like satisfied to see, you know, how the festival has grown over the last 9 years. And this is the 10th year. As a matter of fact, last year we screened 70 films.
Wow.
And there were 100 filmmakers across the globe internationally who were in Chicago, participated in the festival, and it was a huge success.
Wow, those are unbelievable numbers.
Yeah. It was terrific to see a lot of talent under one roof.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Where did the festival take place last year? Where will it take place this year?
So this year, the festival is going to take place at Showplace Icon Theater, which is at Michigan and Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Last year also, we had the festival at the same venue. So we will be keeping with the same venue, different events this year, and it's going to be exciting since it's the 10th anniversary. So we have lots of film screenings. We have opening night, the red carpet, the gala, the cocktail mixers, the panel discussions, press conferences, meet and greet with the artists and the filmmakers. So a lot will be covered during the 4 days.
Wow.
That'll be an exciting time.
Yeah, it sounds good. Now, how soon do you start planning? When did you start organizing and planning for this year's event?
Well, we have already started the planning work.
Yeah.
We are in the midway of our planning. Usually the plan starts, you know, around like January, February time frame, so pretty much the start of the year. And it's a lot which goes into planning. And as you mentioned earlier, that, you know, we have started our submission, so we are accepting the submissions right now for this 10th year.
Wow. And now, how did you get involved with the festival? You said did you find out about the festival right at the beginning in 2010, or did you get involved later?
Yeah, sure. So I was born and raised in India, and from very beginnings when I was little, I was always inclined towards movies, art, and culture. So when I first moved to Chicago, I was looking for an avenue to, you know, be again connected back to the movies, to the culture. And then I found about this festival. So initial couple of years, I was an audience in the festival.
Mm.
And believe me, it was such a great experience that, you know, one fine day I was like, I have to be now behind the scenes of this festival. and that led me, you know, to be a part of the festival with the team, and the rest is a history.
And how big is the staff? How many people help put this thing together?
So currently I have my team of 10 people, mm-hmm. which is a core team, which manage different areas of the festival, like programming, operations, logistics, hospitality, different areas, you know, press, media, PR, branding. And then, you know, we have a lot of volunteers who join us during the festival, you know, like a lot of college students, a lot of like community members who come out as just as a passion. And they help us in registration in different areas during the festival.
So and do they work year round with you?
So the volunteers work during the actual festival.
Right. Yeah.
But the committee is definitely works, you know, the year round with me and the board.
Yeah. Now, you have a lot of fun stuff planned for the 10th year for the festival, and you are accepting submissions. I want to give everybody the information on that. But can you please describe to us the South Asian film scene?
Absolutely. So I would like to tell all the Chicago folks that, you know, whether or not you've seen like movies from or about South Asia, this is the year to get to know the South Asian cinema. It's a perfect opportunity to do so because it's our 10th anniversary. We are really proud to celebrate that. And South Asian films, you know, in India, usually, you know, people know more about Bollywood.
Yeah.
But this is more than the Bollywood film. This is like an independent cinema, which we are bringing to Chicago. And this contains the entire South Asian diaspora. So films from India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Nepal, Sri Lanka, covering all the South Asian countries, as well as the films which have the South Asian content made in United States and Canada are the part of this festival. So it's truly South Asian diaspora film festival.
Wow, that's really a lot to cover right there. That's amazing. That's amazing. And the over 100 filmmakers that participated in last year's, have there been repeats? Are there people who, filmmakers who make movies and get them showcased every year, people who are repeat guests year after year?
Oh, yeah. There have been filmmakers, you know, who have been actually making films every year. And they definitely make a point to, you know, to be a part of the festival. Like last year, we saw a lot of repeat filmmakers. And then there was another like set of all these new filmmakers, the budding filmmakers, who participated. And to our surprise, you know, Chicago, we were really impressed with the Chicago community, the filmmakers who have evolved in the last couple of years, from Columbia Film School, from Gene Siskel Film School, from the film background. You know, they have been submitting their shorts, the documentaries, their feature films. And it has been just such a great experience. Wow. to just meet all these filmmakers.
It sounds really great. It sounds so diverse and just a wonderful festival. Listen, Jigor, hang on for a second, okay?
Sure.
Okay, we are going to take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk more with him about the Chicago South Asian Film Festival, and they are accepting submissions. We'll give you all the details on the submissions and tell you how you can do that if you have a film, and a few more questions for him. Again, it will be on September 19th through the 22nd this year, and it's csaff.org for more information, and we'll give you all the information about how to submit, and we'll do that right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, all coming up. Our regular Friday features. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Fly Jam requests later on, 312-981-7200. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. You can stay connected with us on our Facebook page, too, which is a great way to stay connected, and that's facebook.com/Nick D Show. So like us right now. There you go. All right, we are talking with Jigor Shah, who is the festival manager for the Chicago South Asian Film Festival. You can check out csaff.org for more information. The festival itself is happening in September, September 19th through the 22nd, to be exact. But they are accepting submissions, film submissions, that can be part of the festival. And we wanted to give you information on that and give you guys a chance to maybe submit if you're a local filmmaker and you want to be represented in the Chicago South Asian Film Festival. And Jigur, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick. Okay. Thanks for having me back again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so you are accepting films. In which categories are you accepting film submissions?
So we have four categories. The categories are the fiction shorts, the fiction documentaries, the fiction feature films, and then there is another special category, which is the fiction feature documentary films.
Okay. And so what's the criteria and how can people submit?
So they have to go to the csaf.org, and then once they enter the website, there is a link called Submit Film link. Once they click on the Submit Film link, they'll be able to fill up the form, submit the film and all the details, and that's it. And the film will be submitted.
And
it's easy.
What's the criteria? What is the actual rules of the criteria to submit?
Sure. So the criteria for submitting the film to the Chicago South Asian Film Festival is that the film should have some South Asian content in it. Mm. So when I say South Asian, it could be like a South Asian director, filmmaker, or anyone South Asian associated with the film, mm-hmm. or shot in a South Asian country. So there has to be some relevance to South Asia.
Got it. Well,
so,
that makes sense.
So that's the only rule. Yes.
Okay, I was going to say that makes sense since it's called the Chicago South Asian Film Festival. So that makes
sense. That's correct.
Yeah, that
that's
makes
correct,
sense.
Nick. Yes.
So people who submit their films, okay, and then you mm-hmm. you do give awards out, correct? Because in 2014, you introduced the South Asian Films in America Awards, correct?
Correct.
And so
it's called South Asian Film, yes, Award, yes, absolutely.
And, mm-hmm. and so the filmmakers who are going to submit have the possibility of winning an award, correct?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this award is basically the Audience Choice Awards we have in each category. So there are four categories, and for every category, we'll have the audience who will come to watch the film. They vote for the film, and the film which has the highest number of votes from the audience wins the award.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a great festival. It really does. And you've had repeat filmmakers. Are they already submitting now? Have you gotten a lot of submissions already here in May?
Oh yeah, we have actually got a lot of submissions so far, and we still have a month and a half till the submissions end. So it's still coming up. Every day we get like new submissions and you know, the new films get into our portal. So super excited. The submissions are going on. And we still have some time before we end the submission so that, you know, we can all screen and we can get the final decision out for the festival.
All right. If you are interested in submitting a film, in documentary feature film, documentary short film, fiction feature film, fiction short film as well, you can go to csaff.org. That's csaff.org. And there's a submission tab that you can click onto it, fill out all the forms and submit your movie that way. That's really great. Now let me ask you this, Jigar. What is your take on Bollywood films versus the kind of films that you guys are be showing at this at the festival?
So Bollywood is a term which was coined which had a lot of genre of films together in India.
Right.
So it has different moods, different connections. Whereas our film is mostly about this independent cinema which has evolved. So it covers, you know, the independent issues, the messages, any special things which are happening in the society.
Mm-hmm.
So these filmmakers come up with those topics which has some message back to the community. Not that, you know, the other films do not have message, but this is like purely based on, you know, on an experience, on a particular topic, and on a social cause issue. So those actually come under the independent category.
Got it.
And that's what we clean it.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Films that have been shown at the festival, have they gone on to success elsewhere, whether it be in America or in South Asia?
Yes, actually, you asked a very good question, Nick. In 2017, we screened this film called Newton, and we had the actor, the celebrity, who flown all the way from India to Chicago for our Q&A round and for the red carpet. And that movie was nominated for Oscars, and it was such a great feeling and such a feeling of pride for us that we screened that film at Chicago South Asian Film Festival and was nominated for the Oscars.
Oh, that's really great. So that's good. Congratulations on that. That's a lot of fun discovering a filmmaker like that and a star. That's great. That's really great.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are some of the movies that you enjoy?
Oh, very good question. I enjoy all kinds of movies. You know, I also am a part of a programming team of the festival, so I get to see, you know, all the films submitted with my team and my jury. I enjoy all kinds of films, especially, you know, in terms of comedy, drama, thrillers are like my top three categories. But in general, I just enjoy all kinds of films.
Yeah. Well, you would have to in the position that you're in. You're going to have to watch a lot of movies.
Of films.
Yeah. Do you ever just get, you know, like, Jigar, do you ever get like bleary eyed and like, oh, I don't know if I can watch another movie considering how much content you have to watch?
Yeah, sometimes. And especially when in the evenings when I start watching these films. And if there is a film which is really heavy on a subject or something,
yeah.
And then I feel that, you know, there have been moments where, like, wow, you know, look at the creativity and, you know, look at this film. So I do undergo those emotions at times,
yeah,
when I watch those films, yeah.
All right. Well, the event happens September 19th through the 22nd. That's this year. The submissions are being accepted right now. Once again, go to csaff.org. csaff.org for more information and then keep us posted, Jigar, and then as we get closer to the festival, we can have you back on in September to talk about it. Okay.
Absolutely, Nick, and I would love to have you come for the festival.
Yeah,
so it'll be nice. You know, you can get introduced to a couple of South Asian films and walk the red carpet with us. It'll be a great time.
It sounds like fun. Congratulations on 10 years, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It was nice to talk
really,
to you.
Yeah.
Take
absolutely.
Care.
Absolutely.
Jigar Shah, everybody, festival manager of the Chicago South Asian Film Festival, celebrating its 10th anniversary. 10 years they've been doing this now. And again, you can submit if you're interested. It has to have, obviously, a connection to South Asia. Your film does. And the categories that they're accepting films and submissions for are the documentary feature film, the documentary short film, fiction feature film, fiction short film. They've had motion pictures from Afghanistan, Bangladesh, India, Iran, Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Tibet. Also films from Cambodia and Indonesia, Laos, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam. They've also been showcased as well. So there's lots of different places that are being showcased here. So again, get your submissions in at csaff.org, csaff.org, and get them in now. And hopefully we'll see you on the big screen come September 19th. All right, we're going to take a break here on 720 WGN.
Time come by, it seems to be, you could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home.
Nice choice, Tom. Starting a Mother's Day segment with Ozzy. That's fantastic.
There's more where that came from.
Oh, I bet. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Coming up a little bit later on, as you know, it's Friday. That means our regular Friday features will be happening. Fly James Friday, where we turn this place into a funky room. That doesn't mean by farting up the place or anything like that. You know, I don't know why that's in my brain. Yeah, I know exactly why the funky fart stuff is in my brain, because I watched like 4 episodes of that Tim Robinson Netflix show. There are fart jokes in every single sketch. He likes fart jokes.
He does.
That show, by the way, is really funny. What's it called?
I think you should leave.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
It's really, really funny. We talked a little bit about it yesterday with our good buddy Dan Feinberg, and it's on Netflix, and it's only each one of them is like 15, 16 minutes long episode. You can kill it off in an hour and a half or two. But it's really funny and weird.
Super weird.
Yeah. So I like it. How about the baby pageant contest?
And that's the first sketch. It just gets so weird.
It's just like what? All right. Anyway, that's why that's in my brain. But we'll be doing Fly Jams Friday. Get your Fly Jam request ready. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Then we got Straight Out of Context. That's where you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same goes with Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to the station 24/7. Whenever I am mentioned or the show is mentioned in any capacity, we want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And, of course, You Big Dummy, coming up where we read real news stories about dumb people doing dumb stuff, and then we vote on the dummy. And the first person through, first listener through at 312-981-7200 becomes our third vote. Tom votes, I vote, and then a listener gets to vote. But this weekend is Mother's Day. It's on Sunday, and so we're going to be celebrating Mother's Day. My folks and I are going to be celebrating on, we're going to go to the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn, because that's where you go to celebrate anything. And we're going to do it on, Saturday to avoid the insanity.
Right.
You know, because it's, every restaurant is so crowded and you can't, you know, you have to make reservations for any kind of brunch or any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
So we're going to do it Saturday. We're going to go see a movie and then we're going to go to the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet. And celebrate Mother's Day there. What do you got going on? Anything?
Yeah, I'm going to do Sunday brunch with my mom and my grandmother, and I think some of my aunts and uncles will be there too. I can't remember the name of the place, but yeah, I'm going to do a little Sunday brunch.
There you go. It's Mother's Day, and you got to celebrate how great moms are. We are going to jump into TV moms first. Who are some of the best, most memorable TV moms of all time? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Talk, text. We're doing TV moms first, and then we're going to do talk about movie moms. But TV moms first. Which ones are the ones that stand out for you as most memorable TV moms? 312-981-7200. Before that, here's a little history about Mother's Day. Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the first Mother's Day. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson issues a presidential proclamation that officially establishes the first national Mother's Day holiday to celebrate America's mothers. The idea for a Mother's Day is credited by some to Julia Ward Howe and by others to Anna Jarvis, who both suggested a holiday dedicated to a day of peace. Many individual states celebrated Mother's Day by 1911, but it was not until Wilson lobbied Congress in 1914 that Mother's Day was officially set on the second Sunday of every May. In his first Mother's Day proclamation, Wilson stated that the holiday offered a chance to publicly express our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. In 2002, President George W. Bush echoed Wilson's sentiments by acknowledging mothers in his official statement on Mother's Day in 2002. He commended foster mothers as well as his own fabulous mother, quote unquote, for their love and sacrifice. He also mentioned past presidents' expressions of appreciation for their mothers. He quoted John Quincy Adams as having said, quote, all that I am, my mother made me, and Abraham Lincoln's sentiment that, quote, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. My mother's prayers have clung to me my whole life. Bush's mother, Barbara, was a very popular first lady when the elder Bush served as president from 89 to 92. So there you go. It goes back to Woodrow Wilson. I didn't know that. That's an interesting piece of history. 1914 was the first National Mother's Day with a proclamation by Woodrow Wilson. And we've been celebrating it ever since. And we'll celebrate it this year. And I'm looking forward to it. I love my mom. She's the best. We're going to take her out to the greatest restaurant on the planet, Gale Street Inn, me and my dad and her, and we'll have a great time. So, TV moms. I have this. This is from Entertainment Weekly. They put together a list of TV moms. So they've got here Rebecca Pearson, played by Mandy Moore on This Is Us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, recent pick.
Yeah.
Huh.
And this was by the Entertainment Weekly staff. Maureen Lee Lenker chose this one. Jack Pearson gets all the love, but the superhero of the Pearson tribe, as the superhero of the Pearson tribe, but it's Rebecca who quietly keeps it together with patience, understanding, and deep love. Played by Mandy Moore. And that show, doesn't everybody, I mean, that show, people still watch that show in order to cry, correct?
Yeah, it's pretty much the only way we're able to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I've stopped crying at all other occasions.
It's just saved for... Mm-hmm. For This Is Us.
Yeah, America collectively bottles up all their emotions and then watches
This Is Us. And then watches This Is Us. I'm not a viewer.
I've fallen off the wagon.
I watched a couple episodes of it, sure. But I never got hooked on it.
Yeah, I was only hooked because the girlfriend was watching. I was like, yeah, I'll watch a little bit of it.
Yeah.
It's good. And I love Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, well, he's the best.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's the best.
So cool.
He's great. And then, you know, Jess from Gilmore Girls is in it,
mm-hmm.
with interesting facial hair every other week. Sometimes he's got the stash. Sometimes he's got the beard. Sometimes he's clean shaven. But every time I see that guy, I just think you're not good enough for Rory at all, dude. I didn't think anybody was good enough for Rory.
No.
I didn't like Dean either.
Mm.
I especially didn't like Logan. He was a jerk. Logan. But nobody was ever good enough for my Rory. That's all there is to it. All right, how about this one? This is a good one. Joyce Byers, played by Winona Ryder in Stranger Things. Talk about a comeback, right? Because Winona Ryder was pretty much out of the spotlight for a long time.
Big time.
And then to jump into what turned out to be like a pop culture phenomenon of Stranger Things.
And she's really good in it, too.
She's great in it.
I like that she, for season two, she tempered herself a little bit.
Yeah. 'Cause
season one, she was like in hysterics 24/7.
The whole time.
And like when it was working, but there were sometimes I was like, all right, you got to calm down at some point.
I just remember when they won the award at the SAG, when they won cast award, and David Harbour gave the speech. And he got all political. Have you ever looked online at the memes that were made or the gifts that were made out of Winona Ryder's facial expressions?
Yeah,
like there was like pizzas floating around her head and stuff.
Because it was like very mouth agape.
Oh, it's crazy! It's just some of the craziest facial expressions ever. And
madness.
And of course, it's going to go on. It was online 5 minutes after he gave that speech. But she's terrific in the show. She's great. And it's nice to see her. And I've always been a fan of Winona Ryder. Always.
Except for Reality Bites.
Except for Reality Bites.
But Heathers.
Heathers, man, please. Perfection. Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice.
Come on, man. I'm a big fan. All right, let's see. You know, obviously you remember that period of time. Well, you don't remember because you probably weren't alive. When she and Johnny Depp were an item. They dated.
Wait, when was that?
Edward Scissorhands, right?
Oh,
you know,
right.
All that time
they were that era.
They dated, yeah, they dated late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but Johnny Depp tattooed Winona on his arm.
Classy.
And he tattooed Winona when they broke up. He changed it to Wino.
Well, he had to, you know.
I just thought it was hilarious that he's got a tattoo that says Wino.
Yeah, and we all know about his struggles.
Yeah.
So, oh boy!
Yeah.
The only reason I became aware of Winona Ryder was because of the shoplifting thing.
Oh, come on, really?
Seriously, I had no idea who she was, and I was just like, "Why is everybody focused on this woman shoplifting?" And like,
yeah,
mom's like, "Oh, it's Winona Ryder.
She's Winona Ryder,
like a teen icon for a while." And then I ended up loving her movies. So.
Yeah, well, she's great. She's great, and she's terrific on Stranger Things, and she's a great mom on that show. Although, like you said in the first season, a little nuts, smoked a lot too.
Yeah.
In the first season.
Didn't she get like smokes on credit or something?
Yeah.
Like she goes at the place where she works. She's
right.
Like, listen.
Yeah. All right. Next here. Now this is a show that I don't watch. But I guess I should because there are a lot of people on it who I really, really like, but I don't watch the Goldbergs and they've got Beverly Goldberg, Wendy McClendon Covey.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's on in here
all the time
when I get to work. Because Channel 9 shows it late at night. So when I first get to work and set up the studio and do the prep for the show, it's on in here. So I've seen the show without sound. It's just because I have a monitor on the console right next to my board that I see, and there are two monitors up above on a shelf across the room from me. One of them over there is also on Channel 9, and then the other one I have on the U for some reason. Just because I like, you know what, you know why? Because like they show Cheaters.
They do,
yeah, at some point. So that's always an amusing thing. Like if we're in a break, I can look up and watch people beating each other up and stuff. And, yeah, you can see Tony Grand, you know.
Oh my God.
So, but well, I never watched it, but I should, because first of all, I love George Segal.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jeff Garlin. Jeff Garlin is one of my favorite people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I like Wendy McLennan Covey.
I remember her from Reno 911.
Absolutely.
Where she is.
She's hilarious.
She is a star on the show.
And Tobo's on it. Stephen Tobolowsky's on
it.
He plays the principal of the school. So I see it and I look at it. But every time I look at the screen, and I don't know if anybody watches the Goldbergs, I don't know, it takes place in the 80s. I know that. But do they just recreate iconic scenes from 80s movies? Is that all they do on the show? Because every time I turn around, they're doing like The Breakfast Club, or they, you know.
They do it a lot.
Yeah.
They do it a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
But Patton Oswalt's on it. He's like the narrator voice of the young
kid.
Come
on, seriously?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Oh, man. Do you watch AP Bio?
I've watched a bit of it. I think I got through the first season, I think, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty good, because I'm a huge fan of Glenn Howerton.
Please.
And I love Patton.
Yeah.
Does it get better? Like, I thought it was
pretty
solid.
I like it.
Okay.
I do. But again, I have an undying love for Dennis, and and I adore Patton Oswalt, and the kids are great.
Well, that's all because of The Implication.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, so the Goldbergs, she's listed as a great movie mom here. What do you guys think? 312-981-7200. We're going to move on to movies in a little bit. Of movie moms as we celebrate Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We all love you. You're all great people. And celebrate with your mom this weekend. And may I suggest the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet? That's where we go to celebrate everything. If there's any kind of celebration in the family or in the world, we do it at the Gale Street Inn because it's the greatest restaurant on the planet. George Karzis, who runs it, is a great friend of mine and a really great guy. And it's I just love that place. And we're going to have a great time on Saturday. After we see The Hustle, my parents and I are going to go see The Hustle.
Oh, yeah? The remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, I mean, I don't know. I hear it's really bad. But I love both of those women. I think they're great. Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson. Rebel Wilson's hilarious. And I even like that romantic thing that she did where she was caught in the romantic. I liked that. I'm like one of the only people on the planet that actually thought that movie was funny and sweet.
I just thought it was part of a weird subgenre of women hitting their heads and then their whole worldview being changed.
Yeah, no, it's not an original concept by any stretch, but I enjoyed that movie. So we're going to go see The Hustle, and then we'll go to the greatest restaurant on the planet and have some dinner on Saturday for Mother's Day. What do you guys think? TV moms is what we're talking about first. We'll get to movie moms in a little bit, but we got to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Talk and text. Best TV moms. We'll get back to that after this.
Turn 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried. Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
Nice job. It's Mother's Day this weekend, and we're celebrating it right here on the show. We're going to start off here. We're talking about TV moms, and we're going to move on to movie moms a little later on. But if you want to jump in with your favorite or TV moms right now, 312-981-7200. We have a lot of fun talking about TV and movie moms every year right around Mother's Day. It's always great to do that and celebrate those. So have a happy Mother's Day to everybody. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's David on WGN. Hi, David.
Yeah, the first one that popped my mind was Carol Brady.
Yeah.
She let the maid live in the house without her getting jealous about, you know, how she wants the house be cleaned.
Yeah. that's your takeaway from that? That's great. Yeah, Mrs. Brady, you know, she's a classic movie mom, or TV mom. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, David, thanks, buddy.
Yep, bye.
Take care. Yeah, that's one that's, you know, whenever they're making a list of movie moms, Carol Brady's usually near the top.
Well, you gotta.
Yeah. 301 area code says, TV moms, here, these are two classics, always near, always mentioned, always near the top. Mrs. Cunningham from Happy Days, Mrs. C, and June Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver. Those are just, you know, you can't talk about TV moms without mentioning them. 773 area code, sending in a text, and you can do one too. It's 312-981-7200, talking text, TV moms. My favorite TV moms of all time are June Cleaver, once again, and Florida Evans. That's Glenn in Evanston. Florida Evans from Good Times. Damn, damn, damn. You ever see that clip?
Yeah.
847 area code says, Roseanne reminds me of my mom. Mike from Novak Construction. Best TV mom, Barbara Billingsley. A great TV man, and she speaks jive. Yeah, she did in Airplane. Excuse me, stewardess. I speak jive. Oh man, the fact that they cast Barbara Billingsley in that part is just genius. But yeah, again, once again, you know, June Cleaver getting all the votes here for.
Yeah.
All right. 312-981-7200, talk and text TV moms for Mother's Day. 312-981-7200. Next in this Entertainment Weekly list, Lorelai Gilmore, too low. Way too low. I mean, I don't know if they're in order, but Lauren Graham, who is, you know, one of my favorite people in the world, from Gilmore Girls. She's the mom entertainment junkies wish they had and many hope to become. What with her endless pop culture references, her affinity for movie nights and repeat viewings, we got us a Pippi virgin. And her dog named Paul Anka. Lorelai, however, is also our hero because she found the ideal place to raise a child, Stars Hollow. It's a town that hosts a competitive dance marathon, a festival of living art, and an elementary school production of Fiddler on the Roof starring a grown man, or Kirk. And it's rare and refreshing to see an us-against-the-world mother-daughter twosome so entrenched in community and who eats that much. It's one of my favorite shows of all time.
I still have yet to ever watch a single
it's
episode.
It's one of my favorite. Your girlfriend's name is Lauren. You need to watch Gilmore Girls with her.
All right.
All right?
All right.
As you know, Tom, I have the taste. Sometimes I have the taste of a 14-year-old girl of things that I love. And it all started the year that both Party of Five and My So-Called Life premiered. And that began the Nick DiGiglio is secretly a 14-year-old girl, because it moved on to Felicity, which is one of my favorite shows ever in the history of anything. Did you ever watch Felicity?
I did watch Felicity.
I love that show. I love that show.
And Carrie Russell, you know?
Well,
and
yeah.
I think she has some thoughts.
Yeah, she does, except that I had the volume down on the thing. There we go.
Hi, I'm Carrie Russell, and I love Nick's radio show.
Yeah, I know you do, baby. So there was Felicity, and there was, what else? Gilmore Girls, obviously. Pretty Little Liars. I like Pretty Little Liars.
Where are you on Gossip Girl?
Love Gossip
Very
Girl.
Very into Gossip Girl. I'm not afraid to admit that.
Love Gossip Girl.
What's that one? The one really slimy guy. He always says his own name.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm blanking. Ed Westwick plays him. Why am I blanking on his name? He says it, and I used to say it all the time. Chuck Bass.
I'm Chuck Bass.
I love that show.
And it's great. It's amazing.
It's a great show. You know who got me hooked on that? My ex-wife. She was watching it, and I'm like, what is this? And she's like, it's a Gilmore, or it's a Gossip Girl. And then I started watching it, and we watched it. It was appointment television for us. I love the finale. I know a lot of people didn't like the finale, but I loved it. I love that Dan was Gossip Girl. Made no sense.
No, it was completely...
But I love it. No, yeah, Gossip Girl's way up there. That was I adored that show. So, how about Tammy Taylor, played by Connie Britton in Friday Night Lights? That's a good choice.
Yeah.
That's a good choice.
Love her.
You know, that's one of those rare deals where they made a TV series out of a movie, and the TV series was as good, if not better, than the movie. The TV Friday Night Lights was a great TV show.
It's a great book. It's a great movie. It's a great TV show.
I've not read the book. I enjoyed the hell out of the movie.
Yeah, if you really love the movie and the TV show, give the book a shot.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because that came out the same time that the book that Varsity Blues is based on. And I love Varsity Blues.
So do
Very
I,
different,
man.
But
I love Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues is great.
It's fantastic. And James Van Der Beek has the largest head in the world. Yeah, no, I love Varsity Blues. I don't care. All right, here's the next one that Entertainment Weekly picks. Marge Simpson. Come on now. One of the greatest movie or TV moms of all time. From The Simpsons, voiced by Julie Kavner. Here's the thing. When the writers started, and I've said this a million times, but between 1992 and 1997, there was nothing better on TV than The Simpsons. And I'm talking about that full five-year stretch where, like, almost every single episode was brilliant and hilarious. That stretch, I don't think any other TV show has had a stretch that long that was that good.
Well, they stacked the writer's room.
Yeah.
One of the greatest writer rooms in
of all
TV
time.
History.
And then, you know, obviously the people move on. And then they have to get new writers. And when the writers, the thing about The Simpsons that made me mad, I haven't watched the new Simpsons episode. I can't tell you how many years it's been since I watched the new Simpsons episode. I just go back to that golden age, you know, like I said, between 92 and 97. I mean, there's so many unbelievably great episodes. Do you have a favorite Simpsons episode?
The monorail.
The monorail is your favorite?
The monorail kills me every time.
My favorite, without question, is Homer's Enemy, the Frank Grimes episode, which my former producer, Dan Chigrew, hated. That was he hated that episode. And I can't even tell you, the first time I saw the Frank Grimes episode, my first wife and I were watching it. And at the end, like, they kill Frank Grimes. Frank Grimes dies. And it ends at his funeral. With the coffin being lowered and Homer going, Marge, change the channel. This is boring. And everybody, you know, and then that's the Homer. And then all of Springfield is laughing as Frank Grimes' body is being lowered into the ground. And I was like, when the credits came on, I'm like, what the hell? and I think it's some of Hank Azaria's greatest voice work as Frank Grimes. When he has the meltdown, oh my God, that's my favorite. The Frank Grimes is my favorite. But when the writers came in and started to alter the history of the characters and have them behave in ways that they wouldn't, like the gun episode, where at the end Marge pulls the gun out of the garbage and like points it. Marge would never, ever in a million years do that. So anyway, but Marge Simpson, fantastic TV mom. All right, the news is up after this.
Mother. Tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what to say, mother.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's Friday morning. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday. Mother's Day is Sunday, and have a great celebration with your mom. And so we're talking about moms in entertainment. So first we're chatting about TV moms. Who are your favorite TV moms? 312-981-7200. And then we'll do movie moms in a little bit. 312-981-7200. 630 area code says Peg Bundy. She was the best. Love Peg Bundy. She was a terrible mom, but I loved her. Jay says, hey, Nick, I enjoyed the 1976 TV series Family. With TV mom Kate Lawrence, played by Seda Thompson. 773 area code says, hey, Donna Reed. Yes, of course. JB says, I always liked Shirley Partridge. 319 area code says, your best TV mom, Edith Bunker. Carrie says that best TV mom is Karen Grassel from Little House on the Prairie. That was a show that I never watched. Never watched Little House on the Prairie.
What was that, on like the Hallmark Channel?
No, it was on NBC.
It's on NBC.
Yeah. Canadian Bill says in the 2000s, he had Malcolm in the Middle's mom, Lois, and Marge Simpson. 734 area code says Claire Huxtable from The Cosby Show and Romano from the original One Day at a Time were my favorite TV moms. By the way, the reboot of One Day at a Time is great.
R.I.P.
It's great, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Stupid Netflix. All right. Entertainment Weekly also chooses Elise Keaton, played by Meredith Baxter from Family Ties. It's another show I never watched.
That's, what was it?
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of it.
Sophia from Golden Girls, played by Estelle Getty. That's a funny show.
It is. There was a bar I used to go to that, I think it was on like Wednesday nights. If you went in, they would play nothing but Golden Girls. Everybody would just sit there and watch the Golden Girls.
They were funny. It was a funny show. Yeah,
great show.
How about this one? Nora Walker, played by Sally Field, Brothers and Sisters. My ex-wife loved that show.
That was a big one in our house. I didn't particularly watch it.
I thought it was fine. I liked it, but my ex loved it, man. She was just addicted to it. Let's see. Entertainment Weekly also chooses for their website to take a long time. Oh, there's Carol Brady.
There we are.
There she is. You know she's got to show up. That show was on from 1969 to 1974. And then in, you know, syndication for 4,000 years. So, Claire Dunphy, played by Julie Bowen in Modern Family. I totally agree with that. She's great on that show.
What season is that on? A million?
Started in 2009, so it's 10th season. It's definitely worn out. It's welcome. I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah, you're telling me.
But the first few seasons, it was great.
Oh, they were great. Yeah.
It was great. But yeah, I mean, that's a show that's kind of worn out. It's welcome. Felicity Huffman. Oh, man. Desperate Housewives. Yeah. I especially like that part where she bribes somebody to get into, so her kid can get into school. That's a very good motherly thing to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, just ask TV mom Lori Loughlin.
I feel it's just so weird because, like, William H. Macy is part of that.
Yeah.
He's like one of my favorite actors on the planet. And I'm just disappointed.
Mm.
Roseanne Conner, of course, from
Gotta have Roseanne.
So, I mean, people, that show, man, I remember when that show was first on. It was ridiculous. Kirsten Cohen, played by Kelly Rowan in The O.C. The only thing that I know her from, because I didn't watch The O.C., I loved her in 187. She's fantastic in 187. That's the only thing I know her from. I don't know if I've ever seen her in anything. I mean, I realize that she was on the OC, but I never, you know, and she's terrific. And 187, by the way, is a great film.
Mm-hmm.
Again, directed by the underrated Kevin Reynolds. Mm. My favorite Samuel L. Jackson performance of all time, 187.
I know the OC, there was a scene in that was the inspiration for. Do you remember the SNL sketch, Dear Sister?
Yes, I do.
That's where that's from.
Is that right?
That's a reference to the OC, and that's one of the best sketches I've ever seen.
All right, here's one of my favorites. Ruth Fisher, Frances Conroy, played her on 6 Feet Under. That was a terrific show. All right, how about this? Joyce Summers, played by Christy Sutherland from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's a show I never got into, ever.
It took me a while.
And all my friends think I'm nuts because I should like it. Because there are vampires in it, and I love really tough, hot chicks. And, you know, it's like pop culture related and all that stuff. And I should like it. And people have tried to convince me to like it, and I could never get into it.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that I think it's still on Netflix right now, but they did this awful HD transfer where they screwed up all the aspect ratios. So you can literally see like the crew in some shots and everything
looks really,
all the effects look terrible. It's color graded wrong. And it makes it impossible to get into because it looks bad. It looks really dated.
Yeah. I just was, I liked the movie. I liked the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, what I was speaking of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sunday nights, or I'm sorry, last night's, or the night before, What We Do in the Shadows, I don't even, you know, Feinberg set it up for me, But that was the best set of cameos I've seen on a TV show. I can't even remember. I was just, my jaw was on the floor with all the cameos. And I bring it up because because Paul Rubens is in it playing the character that he played in Buffy and Vampire Slayer. And in the reality of what we do in the shadows, all the actors are actually vampires. Like Evan Rachel Wood is a vampire. Tilda Swinton, they got Tilda Swinton.
Yeah. Well, you know how they did it? It's because it was written by Jermaine and directed by Taika.
Yeah, and who are both in it.
Yeah.
Playing their characters from what we do in the shadows. Wait a minute. Wesley Snipes Skyping. I was beside myself during the episode. I was beside myself.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor and get on that bandwagon right now.
Funny. It got renewed for a second season. But man, Feinberg, you know, he said your mind is gonna be blown, and he was absolutely right.
He teed it up.
I couldn't believe, as soon as I saw Tilda Swinton, I was like, whoa!
We're in now.
Oh. Who am I forgetting? There was Evan Rachel Wood.
What's his oh my god.
The
wrestler.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Batista. But he wasn't one of the council members.
No, no. But Batista's in there.
Batista's in it, too. He plays. Oh, my God. It was so great. So great. All right, moms, this is one of my favorites of all time. Lucille Bluth, Arrested Development, Jessica Walter. Unbelievable on that show.
How much do you think a banana costs?
Oh, my God. Just so good. Everybody on that show, man. I was disappointed with the reboot. The Netflix reboot disappointed me.
I think it disappointed pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
It was not.
But, man, that the first couple of seasons, first few seasons. How about this one? They actually chose The Missing Mom from Different Strokes, Punky Brewster, Full House, My Two Dads, Blossom, and The Nanny.
The Tomb of the Unknown Mom.
Yeah. And there you go. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump into movie moms, best and worst. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got movie moms. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Right, Waker. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Tom's picking all these songs, by the way, in honor of Mother's Day. Mother's Day is this weekend. I hope everybody has a great Mother's Day. And we're moving on. We were talking about TV moms. Now we're moving on to movie moms. And I have some that were great and some that were really bad moms. And that's what we want to get from you. Well, who are the best and the worst movie moms? 312-981-7200. Wrapping up the TV mom portion here, 312 area code texts us Morticia Adams. And then of course, Lily Munster, too, would have to be mentioned. 708 area code, Marie Barone from Everybody Loves Raymond. And 815 area code, the moms in Mom. Both Allison and Anna moms are so human, they try hard with the help of AA, even though they goof up often. That's another show that's on in here all the time with no sound. That's another. I've never seen an episode of. I have. I've seen a couple of episodes of Mom. It's not bad for a show produced by Chuck Lorre.
Yeah, what was it Anna Faris?
Yeah, and Allison Janney.
Yeah, great.
Kevin Pollak's on it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy who squints on Third Rock from the Sun? What's that guy's
French
name?
French Stewart.
Yeah, that guy. He's on it.
The guy who squints.
That's the way I describe him. He's the guy who squints on Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, my God.
By the way, Third Rock from the Sun, I love that show.
Oh, it was great.
It's John Lithgow is so funny on that show. Yeah. All right. Well, so here's we got another list here of the greatest movie moms. This is the New York Post. Right at the top here, they pick two Sandra Bullock roles. They pick her in Gravity. And here's how they describe it. After her space umbilical cord gets broken, Ryan symbolically climbs back into the womb and is finally reborn in a sticky mess, all while finally letting go of her dead daughter. That's an accurate portrayal of what that movie's about, of what that movie is really about. And it's I love that movie. And then they pick her in The Blind Side, which is a movie that I can't stand. How about Debbie Reynolds in Mother?
Mm-hmm.
Albert Brooks. In his own movie, Albert Brooks was content to play straight man to Reynolds, who did a hilariously dead-on spoof of aging moms. There are a lot of big laughs in that. Well, it's Albert Brooks. So
goes without saying.
Albert Brooks has never made a bad movie, and he's made, as far as I'm concerned, four masterpieces. He's got four masterpieces under his belt. There aren't a lot of directors who have that. It's a pity that he doesn't work anymore. He doesn't really work much. The last movie that he did was so great, and five people saw it. It was Looking for Comedy in the Muslim World, which is a brilliant movie, and like two people saw it. But Albert Brooks, you can't go wrong. You got Real Life, which is a certified masterpiece. Modern Romance, which is a certified masterpiece. Lost in America, which it's not of this planet. That's how good that movie is. And Defending Your Life. Those are the four movies that are just certified comic masterpieces. I think The Muse is okay. I like Mother very, very much. And I love Looking for Comedy in the Muslim World. And yes, Debbie Reynolds is fantastic in Mother. Really, really funny. All right, let's see. Oh, look at this. We got some texts coming in. 312-981-7200. 262. Clint Eastwood's mom, Ruth Gordon, in Every Which Way. Every Which Way But Loose. Is she actually Clint Eastwood's mom in the movie? I don't even remember. I mean, she's on a porch and she's got a shotgun and she swears and stuff, and she's Ruth Gordon.
Yeah, I won't lie to you. The Clint Eastwood movies I have seen the most are not the ones featuring the orangutan.
No, well, no. I like them. I still like them, you know, because it's Clint Eastwood.
It's Every Which Way But Loose and Every Which Way You Can.
No, right? Any Which Way You Can.
Any Which Way You Can.
Every Which Way But Loose was first and Any Which Way You Can. He made those movies so that he could direct.
Fair.
That's why he made them. He had a deal with Warner Brothers. This is absolutely true. He had a deal with Warner Brothers where he would do one for them, and they would allow him to do one for him. You know what I mean? So, like, he would do, like, another Dirty Harry movie. He would be, all right, I'll do one more Dirty Harry movie, but you got to let me do Bird. You know what I mean? I'm trying to remember what the swap out was for White Hunter Black Heart. I'm trying to remember was it The Rookie? I think it was The Rookie with Charlie Sheen. But yeah, I'll do one for you. You let me do one for me. But then like after a while, it was like, do whatever you want. Cause like every year he would make a movie and it would, you know, just be like Mystic River for God's sake. Million Dollar Baby. Unforgiven. Perfect World. I mean, it just
keeps going.
It just keeps going.
But now I kind of wish he would stop.
No, The Mule was good. I like The Mule.
Well, it was better than American Sniper, that's for sure.
American Sniper was terrible. His version of The Four Seasons, that show with The Four Seasons.
Jersey Boys.
Was terrible.
Ugh.
It was terrible. The movie where the actual guys who stopped the terrorist attack on the Paris train,
yeah.
Also terrible.
Yeah. And no disrespect to those guys, obviously.
No, well, just, they're not
they
actors.
They didn't need to be in the movie.
Here's what's really funny. He was on Jimmy Kimmel, Clint. Was on Jimmy Kimmel with the guys. So they bring the guys out, and obviously everybody gives them a standing ovation because they're real-life heroes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so Clint goes, I figured if anybody, you know, would be authentic and really know what happened, it would be the guys who were actually there. And that's why we cast them. And so they did a segment with just Clint. So Jimmy Kimmel is interviewing Clint, and they do a segment with him. Then they bring the guys out, okay? And so, you know, they're asking questions, you know, what it was like and everything. And Clint is notorious for doing one take and going, oh, let's go. He wants to be golfing by two in the afternoon. That's, you know what I mean? Clint Eastwood just, like, seriously, he's notorious for how fast he shoots. Well, the guy makes, like, two movies a year. So anyway, they were talking about, you know, the shooting and how it was and all that stuff. And so Kimmel asks the guys, anybody interested now in pursuing acting? Because obviously none of these guys were actors. And one guy goes, yeah, I got an agent. And he's like, wow, okay, cool. You're going to pursue it? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna audition. I'm gonna try it out. And then one other guy says, yeah, maybe I will. I had a good time. Maybe I'll do it too. And then he asked, then Kimmel asked Clint Eastwood, he goes, would you cast these guys again in another movie? He goes, no way. Oh, Clint. Oh,
well, you know, he's nothing if not honest.
He's great. 815 area code. The Mom and Three Billboards. Oh, please. God, Frances McDormand. I love that movie.
I need to watch it at least two more times.
Oh, I love it.
I can't decide.
I love it.
Well, the thing is, I can't decide what, and I, oh God, who's the writer-director?
Martin McDonagh.
Martin McDonagh. Brilliant writer. Amazing writer.
Yeah.
Great director. In Bruges, one of my top.
Fantastic.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure what he was shooting for in terms of messaging.
Well,
I think it's very interesting.
Well, I think it's a movie that's supposed to make you uncomfortable.
Right.
That's supposed to put you in a questioning moral situation.
Right. And I mean, that's his MO.
Oh yeah.
In
no
Bruges
question about
and Seven Psychopaths, very yeah. much the same thing, but,
and the performances in Three Billboards are unbelievable. Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, mm-hmm. Frances McDormand. Everybody in that
yeah.
movie. Everybody.
I just haven't decided yet.
Yeah, no, I understand. I totally understand. Yeah. I love that movie. Hey, Nick, the best movie mom is Rebecca De Mornay in Mother's Day. Is that horror movie where she's like a kid?
Mother's Day. I think so.
No, Mother's Day, Rebecca De Mornay was the hand that rocks the cradle, and where she was like the psycho nanny.
Yeah, yeah. Mother's Day
was Jamie Lee Curtis was in a movie called something with a mother in it, in the title.
The only Mother's Day movie I can think of called Mother's
movie.
Day.
Is a Kaufman horror movie.
I'm thinking of the...
Oh, the Gary Marshall?
Yeah, with...
8 million stars in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Jason Sudeikis and Jennifer Aniston.
Have you seen Mother's Day, the Lloyd Kaufman Mother's Day from the early 80s? Slasher movie?
No,
Oh, dude. Oh, you got to see it.
Well, I'll get on over to Odd Obsession.
Mother's Day. I'm telling you, it's insane. It's insane. It's one of the low budget crazy Kaufman company. It's not a trauma movie. I don't think it's a trauma movie. I think it was before they formed Trauma. But it's a slasher movie that came out in 1980, like at the height of the slasher genre, and it's insane. 301 area code says, I don't know why, but the first movie mom I think of is Angela Lansbury in the original Manchurian Candidate because she is a horrible and terrifying mom. Yes, we are going to talk about bad moms in movies as well. But right now we're talking about good ones. Who are your favorites? Who are the best movie moms? We'll do the worst in a little bit. We got a break here. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. The news is up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, this is the greatest band of all time. Listen, my friend Joe. Welcome back. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. All the regular Friday features are coming up in a little bit. Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday. But right now we're talking about, it's Mother's Day this weekend, so we're talking about the best movie moms. We're going to get to the worst movie moms, too. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Next on this New York Post list, Shirley MacLaine in Postcards from the Edge. I love that movie. Based on Carrie Fisher's memoir. Both Meryl Streep and Shirley MacLaine are so great in that movie. I love it. Sigourney Weaver, an alien. She's not a mother.
Not yet.
Newt's not her daughter.
Well, what? No, don't you remember her? It's a deleted scene in Aliens where she finds out about what happens to her daughter.
Oh, right. Her daughter. Goes, yeah, that's right. Her daughter died, right?
Yeah, her daughter, like, because she goes
outlived
into cryostasis.
Outlived her. Yeah. Yeah, and died.
Yeah. Really depressing scene, too.
Well, here's the thing about that. That's because she goes way out of her way to protect Newt. Like, insane. To insane, like, obsessive ways. And cutting that scene really takes away the motivation for why she does what she does.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why Cameron would have cut that scene.
Yeah. But luckily, you can get the full thing.
Yeah.
And it works real well. Plus, she does kind of give birth to the aliens later on.
Well, it's true. Okay, if you want to say.
Let's talk about Resurrection, baby.
Yeah, I like Resurrection. I like all the Alien movies. Shirley MacLaine in Terms of Endearment. Yeah. I love that. That's another great movie. Jo Beth Williams in Poltergeist. I guess. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of Poltergeist. Never scared me.
Well, you like, don't you like Poltergeist 3 or
no,
something?
Yeah, I like Poltergeist 3 probably the most of the Poltergeist movies. Directed by my good friend Gary Sherman, who directed so many great movies. Yeah, you ever see Vice Squad?
Yeah.
Ramrod, one of the greatest characters in the history. Wings Hauser, one of the greatest characters in the history of movies. Great director. Gary Sherman's a great director. You ever see Dead and Buried?
No.
Oh! Dude, you got to see Dead and Buried. You got to see Dead and Buried.
I've got a running list.
Oh, my God. You have to see Dead and Buried. It's a classic. An absolute classic. Yeah, James Ferrantino.
Dead and Buried.
Jeez, why am I blanking out? Jack Albertson from Chico and the Man is in it. No, you got to see it. You got to see it. All right, let's see. Let's go to the phones. We're talking about moms here. Here's Elizabeth on WGN. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to nominate Joan Crawford as Mildred Pierce. Too bad it didn't rub off on her, because in real life she was
the
worst.
She was a horrible mother. But yeah, Mildred Pierce, absolutely. No question about it. And it didn't. It certainly didn't rub off. So.
No.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you.
Good night.
All right. Yeah, when we get to Bad Moms, obviously Faye Dunaway and Mommy Dearest. Linda on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, some of the best moms and some of the funny ones is Mama. I remember Mama, the old movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, Ma Kittle. Who can pass her up?
Right.
From them. Maureen O'Hara from Uncle Buck.
Oh, right. No. That was Only the Lonely.
Only the Lonely. You're right.
Right.
And then Jane Fonda in Monster in Law.
God. Okay.
And Sally Field in Magnolias.
Yeah, Steel Magnolias.
Steel Magnolias.
Yeah. Yeah, those are all classic moms. All right, Linda, thank you.
Okay, sure.
Take care. Here's Robert on WGN. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Nicholas. Good morning. Hey. I don't know if this qualifies, but Overboard, Goldie Hawn.
Oh, well, she's she is brainwashed into thinking that she's a mom, even though she's not. But yeah, yeah.
You know, and then for my mom, who's 85 years old, is probably It's a Mad Men and That World.
Ah, there you go. All
that
right.
Whole movie was revolved around that lovely lady who has passed away.
Yeah. All right, Robert, thanks.
All right, take care, man.
Here's Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Hey.
I'm going to bring up a name that was brought up yesterday.
Yeah.
The Bride.
Oh,
the
sure.
The Bride.
Yeah, Kill Bill. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She killed everyone to get her daughter back.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Yep, that's a good one. All right, Glenn, thank you.
All right. Yeah.
Shelley Duvall in The Shining.
Like, yeah, she's a good mom.
She's a much better mom than his dad.
Yeah.
Cicely Tyson in Sounder.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Elizabeth Taylor and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music. Claudia McNeil in The Raisin in the Sun. That's a good one. That's a real good one. Oh, okay. These guys at the New York Post are being funny now. Anthony Perkins in Psycho.
I know she's not on the, she's only in the TV show, but Vera Farmiga as Mrs. Bates.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Donna Reed, It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
Dorothy McGuire in A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. I love that movie and I love that book. Was mentioned Joan Crawford, Mildred Pierce. Mary Astor in Meet Me in St. Louis. Meet Me in St. Louis. So those are some good ones. Now, I want to move on to some bad ones. And there are a lot of bad, but if you guys want to jump in, if you still have some good choices for good moms, 312-981-7200. But we're gonna jump onto the bad moms here. Who are some terrible moms in the movies? But if you want to jump in with the good moms as well, send a text or call us right now at 312-981-7200 in honor of Mother's Day. 312-981-7200. Lots to choose from here in both categories, good and bad. And we got some texts coming in here. Let's see. 815 area code. I guess she couldn't be considered a good mom, but Meryl Streep took my breath away in Kramer versus Kramer. She's a terrible mom. She abandons her family. 773 area code. This is Mark the Breadman. Says my favorite movie mom would be Sarah Connor, and she kicks butt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's a badass in T2.
You know what's weird about this coming Sunday? This Game of Thrones episode is going to be the battle of two non-canon Sarah Connors.
Really?
Yeah, because Lena Headey played Sarah Connor in the TV show.
Oh, right.
And Emilia Clarke played Sarah Connor in Terminator Genesis.
God, I don't even remember anything about that.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could forget.
It was a horrible movie. Shirley MacLaine, who played Aurora in Terms of Endearment. 815 area code, greatest movie mom in the galaxy. Is it Padme? I don't know.
Yeah.
That would be Natalie Portman, right?
Natalie Portman.
In the Star Wars prequels.
Mother of Luke and Leia.
Okay. All right. And it, and their dads would be Hayden Christensen, who's actually been great in one movie.
It's the journalism right. One, right?
Shattered Glass.
Yeah, Shattered Glass.
He's really great in that movie. But that movie belongs to Sarsgaard. That's mm-hmm. Peter. That's Peter. Actually, everybody's great in that movie. That's one of my favorite movies. Shattered Glass. Tremendous. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we're moving into the bad mom category. And let's just kick it off with a big one. This is like one of the ultimate bad mom characters in movie history. Margaret White, played by Piper Laurie in Carrie. Poor Carrie bullies in pig blood at school and knifey fundamentalist mom at home. That I'll tell you something. When I first saw Carrie, I was 11 years old. It came out in 1976. I was 11 years old. The movie scared the crap out of me. Like, it really, really scared me bad. And I still love it. I still think it's, you know, amazing. And I still think it's creepy. And I still think it's scary. And for me, one of the scariest aspects of Carrie is Piper Laurie, who just scared the crap out of me when I was a kid and is still really scary. It's a great performance, too. They're both great in that movie, and they both got nominated for Oscars for it. Sissy Spacek got nominated, and so did Piper Laurie. And deservedly so, because they're both amazing in the movie. But, man, Piper Laurie and Carrie, Margaret White, that's a bad mom. That's a real bad mom. So, if you would like to jump in here, 312-981-7200 for your choice of bad moms. Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Yes. Good morning, Nick. I can't remember if I got the title right. Whatever happened to Baby Jane?
Whatever happened to Baby Jane, yeah.
And the one with those of ours, I mean, Stallone.
Oh.
It was a copper?
Yeah. It was, were you talking about Stop or My Mom Will Shoot?
Right.
Yeah. All right, John. Thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. Here's Mary on WGN. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Mary Tyler Moore in Ordinary People.
Oh, God.
She wouldn't even be in a picture with him. She was all like,
oh God.
Get away from me.
Yeah. I'll tell you, man. I love that movie. I really love that movie.
The psychiatrist was great.
Yeah, Judd Hirsch.
Yeah, remember he's like, what did you do so bad? You held on the other day, like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great movie. And she's the ice queen in that movie. And the fact that the fact that Robert Redford cast Mary Tyler Moore, who is one of the most beloved women on the planet.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he casts
Laura Petrie.
Yeah, Laura Petrie, Mary Richards. I mean, just, you know, and then she's so, you know, like, just so bad in that movie. I mean, oh.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah, it makes me very uncomfortable, but I love it. Okay, Mary, thanks.
All right, bye.
Take care. Mary Tyler Moore on Ordinary People. Buck would have never been in the hospital. Oh. Oh. And again, every time I mention Ordinary People, I do have to mention that everybody got nominated, but Donald Sutherland, and Donald Sutherland gives the best performance in the movie. That's all I'm saying. That's all. I say he's unbelievable in that movie. And we've talked about this, you know, some time ago. He's never been nominated for an Academy Award. Never been nominated. Never even been nominated. Donald Sutherland. They gave him a lifetime thing.
Which is great, but it doesn't count. I mean, they give that to people that they just, like, couldn't get. Like, Charlie Chaplin, I think, has one. Akira Kurosawa got one.
Jerry Lewis.
They gave one to Spike Lee.
Yeah, they did. Well, he won a real one, though, this year.
Thank God.
Yeah. You know, Black Klansman was on HBO the other day. That is a great movie, man. I've only seen it the one time, and I watched a good hour of it. I came in late and I watched it, but that is such a great movie.
It's rad.
It's his best movie in years. Like he had a stretch there where he was not doing well, but man, he blew it out of the water with Black Klansman. And that last 10 minutes, oh my God, what a kick to the gut!
It is. It is.
Such a good movie. All right, Bad Moms. I got a bunch here. 312-981-7200. Welcome back. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here until 5 o'clock. Coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. Mother's Day this weekend, so we talked about TV moms. We're talking about movie moms that were great movie moms and terrible movie moms, bad moms. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How about this one? Helen Boucher from The Waterboy, played by Kathy Bates. While a mama on the list aren't all deranged or downright evil, she simply wants the best for her boy, smothering him with Southern fried life platitudes and overprotection to the point of brain damage. How about this one? Kate McAllister, Catherine O'Hara in Home Alone, forgets her damn kid. Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford in Mommy Dearest. Maniacally over-the-top performance by Faye Dunaway as fading icon Joan Crawford, responsible for burning down the big wire hangar lobby in D.C. Oh, come on now. Kathleen Turner in Serial Mom. I love that movie, and I love her in it. In her defense, she just wants to keep in order. It's crucial after all that labor, that fashion rules, no white after Labor Day. are upheld. Yeah, Serial Mom, classic. How about this one? Pamela Voorhees, Betsy Palmer, Jason's mom, Friday the 13th. Hope we're not spoiling a 36-year-old classic for you, but Jason isn't even the killer in Friday the 13th. It's Cosby sweater-wearing mama who wants to exact revenge on all the horny camp counselors. I don't know how they got Betsy Palmer to do that movie.
I'm not sure Betsy Palmer knows how they got her to do that movie.
I have no idea. She clearly didn't work for a long time, I know.
No.
The Wicked Stepmother, played by Cate Blanchett in Cinderella.
Hmm.
I mean, that's a classic character.
Yeah.
Here we go. Stifler's mom, American Pie.
Yeah! We did it, everybody.
The greatest, Jennifer Coolidge, one of the greatest. Webcams, Blink-182, frosted hair tips, navigating high school in the 90s was hard enough, even without your class clown's mom attempting to devour your virginity.
Would you like a scotch?
I
aged 18 years.
I love that movie. I love that movie.
It's ridiculous.
I remember when I told you this, when I sent my top 10 to the webmaster, and he saw American Pie was on the top 10, and he goes, well, you mean American Beauty, right? And I went, no, I mean American Pie.
The only thing about that movie that has not aged super well is the webcam stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's dated. Just, you know, because the movie came out in 99.
But even for 1999, could that webcam thing happen? I don't think the internet was quite that good.
No.
I'm willing to suspend my disbelief because it's funny.
Yeah.
But dubious at best.
It's still a great movie.
It's, the Pale Ale.
Yeah. It just, come on. Mama Fratelli in The Goonies. Ann Ramsey. What about Ann Ramsey? What about Throw Mama from the Train?
I'm not kidding. We've just gotten like 8 texts.
For Throw Mama from the Train?
Yes. I've been trying to get them all.
I had a dream that Louis Armstrong was trying to kill me. Ann Ramsey was a national treasure. She also has the distinction of having her head explode because she has a basketball thrown at it in Deadly Friend. Christy Swanson plays a robot in Wes Craven's terrible movie, Deadly Friend, and she whips a basketball at Ann Ramsey's head, and her head explodes. You can see that online as a gif. Oh, well, the next one is, I speak too soon, it's Throw Mama from the Train.
Great.
Ann Ramsey was the most monstrous mom in the 80s, with that in The Goonies. Mrs. Wormwood, Rhea Perlman in Matilda.
Oh, yeah. She freaked me out so much.
That was a great movie.
That really made a lot of my childhood.
I wish Danny DeVito would direct more.
Sure.
You know, because War of the Roses is one of my favorite movies ever. I wasn't crazy about Hoffa.
I don't think anybody
was. But I thought Matilda was terrific.
Matilda is a great, great kids movie.
Yeah. They're saying Leia Thompson in Back to the Future is a bad mom. I guess I can see that. She did make out with her son. Well, kiss her son.
She's a good, I mean.
Well, not until, you know, I mean, she's a pretty terrible mom at the beginning of the movie, too.
Yeah, she's like
an alcoholic. Total alcoholic.
Sorry, kids. Looks like your Uncle Joey's not getting out of prison again.
Better get used to these bars. That movie is, I mean, please, it's ridiculous.
It's a masterclass in everything.
There's no question about it. Oh, yeah, Mrs. Robinson, Anne Bancroft in The Graduate.
I don't think that's a bad mom.
Seriously?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I don't know why you... Why would you think that she's not a bad mom? I don't understand that.
Because, you know, she's helping out a guy.
You know? All right. This is, again, Angela Lansbury in The Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
And who played it was Meryl Streep in the remake,
right? Oh, God. I don't even remember watching the remake.
I like the remake. It's not nearly as good as the original, but I think that's
probably why. And I'm here for Denzel.
Yeah.
I love Denzel, but it just didn't grab me.
Oh, God. Charlize Theron in The Road. Oh, God. Oh, man, that's a good choice.
Is this New York Post as well?
No, this is, No, this isn't New York Post. What is this? Rotten Tomatoes. It's a survey.
Okay, good. Okay.
Oh, I love this. I love this. They chose The Other Mother, voiced by Terry Hatcher and Coraline.
Nice.
That's fantastic that they chose that.
Great movie.
Unbelievable.
Studio Leica.
The last Missing Link, nobody went to see it. It was fantastic. Monique and Precious.
That very bad mom.
Francis O'Connor in AI, Artificial Intelligence. Abby and Mother's Day. That's the movie I was telling you about. Mother in New York Stories. When she was huge and Woody Allen. Kristen Wiig and Diary of a Teenage Girl. You ever see that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Leslie Mann in This Is 40. And then last one, The Queen in Aliens. So they.
She's just doing her job.
Yeah.
She's an alien queen.
That's right. Well, there it is. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Avoid those moms. If you want to wrap this whole thing up with a couple of texts or something, go ahead. 312-981-721. We're going to break for the news, and afterwards, the regular Friday features begin.
Here's dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio, here until 5 a.m. It's Friday, and that means our Friday features are beginning. We're going to do You Big Dummy right now, and then straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, and of course, Fly Jams Friday. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 has your morning drive on this Friday morning. By the way, I wanted to wrap this up. One person texted in that Florence Henderson from Shakes the Clown is a bad mom. So she made both good and bad mom lists. So there you go. All right. It's time for You Big Dummy. This is when we take real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. We read them and we vote on who is the biggest dummy. And then Tom votes, I vote, and then the first person through after our summation can vote and be the third vote to see who the biggest dummy of the week is. And so let's do it. Dummy number one. Dummy number one. Dummy number one. Virgilio Martinez says he was stopped as he brought 40 piranhas in a duffel bag through Los Angeles International Airport. World-famous restaurateur who starred on Netflix's Chef's Table was stopped bringing 40 piranhas through LAX. Virgilio Martinez, chef owner and exclusive of the exclusive Central Restaurant in Peru, says he hoped to serve the predatory sharp-toothed fish during an L.A. food festival. He told the Los Angeles Times on Wednesday that custom agents pulled him into an interrogation room when they found his cache of frozen vacuum-sealed piranhas. Martinez was featured in the third season of the Netflix show Chef's Table. He said that his latest ingredient sent customs officers into, quote, a panic. He said, I was extremely obsessed about bringing piranhas back. We serve piranhas in the Amazon at Central. So I said, guys, why not take a risk and bring the piranhas to L.A.? You probably have preconceived notions about piranhas because of movies, but for me, piranhas, we go and fish them. When asked what was inside the bag, Martinez replied, bones, flesh. But his joke ended up in interrogation by additional officers. Martinez is the, let's see. After 5 hours... the piranha dish is served in Lima, Peru. After 5 hours, the agents let Martinez through with the fish. He used them that night on a salad and says that the following night he dried the piranha skins and served them inside the piranha heads. I told him it was going to be a special dinner with a friend who I really respect, and I'm going to do a dish that I really enjoy. I told him that it was from my heart, and I showed him a few photos. Look, this is what I want to do with piranhas. And he said, wow, go ahead. Oh, God.
But if you and Rollo are going to be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super Dummies. There's something for you right here. Want it. Dummies.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Dummy number two. In a colossal gaffe that will drive conspiracy theorists into overdrive, the official royal family website listed baby Archie Harrison Mountbatten, Windsor's parents, as the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. This, by the way, was at the royal family's official website. The announcement on Archie's own page on the royal website read, Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor was born at 5:26 on Monday, 6th May. He is the first child of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge and is the seventh in line to the throne. It's the kind of mistake that happens all the time, but with one of the most keenly anticipated and closely scrutinized births of the year, it's a massive embarrassment for the Royals' PR team. The second the dough moment happened for the team, after an announcement that Meghan Markle had gone into labor, failed to send, and eventually materialized after baby Archie was born. More than one chain of conspiracy theory tweets had speculated that Meghan Markle's pregnancy was somehow faked and that the real parents were Prince William and Kate Middleton. Now, even though it was clearly a humiliating error that could end up with someone backstage at the palace losing their job, that gossip will likely go on for years.
Won't be long before we'll hear the pitter-patter of tiny dummies around the house. I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Dummy number three. A man who Florida authorities originally said accidentally shot himself in a supermarket checkout line was actually shot by his wife's gun. The Pasco County Sheriff's Office told the Tampa Bay Times on Monday that deputies' investigation shows that 69-year-old Vernon Messier, is he a hockey player, was shot Sunday when his wife's purse fell off a counter at a Lando Lakes Publix supermarket, causing the two-shot Derringer inside to fire. The bullet struck Messier in the shin. Deputy said 67-year-old Lillian Messier has a concealed weapon permit. No charges are expected, and deputy said that Vernon Messier is recovering.
Dummy. La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum is dummy. Just Donna and me. And the dummy makes three.
Dummy number four. Dummy number four. Dummy four. The advice of the Audrin County Sheriff Matt Adler gave in a wild Facebook post detailing the illegal things he said one woman did while bailing her boyfriend out of jail. The post began, "I can't make this stuff up." Aller said it was a normal day in the office when he noticed a woman getting arrested in the building on one of the security monitors. The woman, Amanda Smith, reportedly drove to jail on a revoked license. Quote, "She drove right to our building thinking we wouldn't notice. The deputy recognized her and knew she was revoked. We notice. Don't do that," Aller wrote. But the day did not end with just one felony for Smith. Aller's post continued. He said he saw Smith digging around in her bra and pants and asked the chief deputy to review the footage. Chief deputy approached Smith and asked her for the bag of meth she had in her person. She had on her person in the jail. When she looked confused, the deputy pointed to a wall-mounted security camera. She looked at the camera, then cried and dug the meth out of her pants and gave it up, which is another felony. Don't do that. Aller said the takeaway is simple. If you commit a couple of felonies, don't do so at the sheriff's office.
Have you ever seen him act?
I've been watching him act all his life. Like a dummy. I mean, I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
Why not?
Well, up to now, the only thing you've grown is dumber and dumber.
All right. We got a break here for weather and some commercials. We'll come back. We got one more dummy story to read, and then we vote on who is the biggest dummy of the week. And you can join in, being the first person to call in after Tom and I vote. So there you go. 312-981-7200. The dummies will continue. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday. Happy weekend, everybody. That means all of our regular Friday features will be happening later on. Fly Jams Friday. We got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and right now we're in the middle of You Big Dummy. We got one more dummy story to read, and then Tom will vote, I will vote, and then you call in. First person through is the third vote for Dummy of the Week. Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Dummy five. A Florida woman pulled a small alligator out of her pants during a traffic stop Monday morning, authorities said. Florida. The unidentified woman showed an officer the reptile when asked, "Do you have anything else?" There were also 42 striped mud turtles, one soft-shell turtle in the woman's vehicle when she was pulled over on the highway some 100 miles south of Tampa, according to Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission was called to the scene to investigate. She the woman was cited for possession and bag limit violations for all three species, which are native to Florida but are regulated. The reptiles were then seized and released, according to a spokesperson for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Florida is home to more than a million gators, and the reptiles are protected under state law. It's illegal to kill, injure, capture, or possess alligators without a permit.
The only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them. My only child is a dummy.
All right. Florida represented.
Doing a good job this week.
Every week we get at least one Florida story, which, you know, makes sense. So let's do a recap here. We got the dummy chef, who, by the way, I've seen on Chef's Table. We got the dummy chef who had 40 piranhas in his duffel bag. He was going to make that out of a. He was going to make a salad out of some piranhas. We got the dummy who posted the wrong parents of Archie on the official royal family website. We got the dummy who was shot in a supermarket when his wife's purse was dropped. We have the dummy who drove to jail on a suspended license, a revoked license, with meth in her pants. And speaking of something in your pants, the dummy who had an alligator in her pants during a traffic stop when she had too much wildlife. All right. What are you thinking about here, Tom?
All right, I'm gonna say this right now. It's a battle of the pants.
it's always a battle,
it's always
of,
a
the
battle
pants.
Of the pants. If someone
we had a guy throw some rib roast, 40 pounds of rib roast down his pants last
what a
week.
Genius.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say gator pants.
You're going with gator pants.
I'm going with gator pants because gators represent Florida, and Florida is a staple of the show.
By the way, Gator Pants was my morning zoo name. Yeah, man, Gator Pants. Yeah. Here's some Journey. all right, that's a good one. I've seen the chef on. I know who the chef is. He's known to be a weird dude. I will just say that he was on Chef's Table, which is a pretty fantastic show. So I'm not going to vote for him because he was dumb to try and talk these guys. He was dumb because he made jokes about it, bones and flesh. But I got to say that this official royal family website, whoever posted that, is a real dummy. I mean, that's ridiculous that was posted on the official royal family website.
You had one job.
Exactly.
You had one job.
Ridiculous. The guy who's what, I mean, I'm interested why she's carrying a two-shot Derringer with her. It is Florida.
Yeah. There's people with gators in their pants.
Yeah, exactly. You got to have defense against the gator pants. Yeah, man, gator pants. Yeah. Here's Kansas. And then you've got the this woman who had meth in her pants driving on a revoked license to a jail. And she was bailing like her friend out. She was going to bail her friend out.
I think she was bailing out her boyfriend.
That's good. And then finally, the dummy who had the alligator in her pants. I'm gonna agree with you, Tom.
Gonna go gator pants.
I'm going gator pants, and I actually saw the story right before I left for work last night because Kimmel did it. He has this segment called "Meanwhile in Florida," and they do it all the time. And they show like that was the one they did the news report of, and they actually showed the gator. There's a picture. There was an actual picture of the gator that was in her pants, and it should not have been in her pants. So I'm going with gator pants. Let's see who our third vote is voting for. Here's Patty on WGN. Hi, Patty.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to go with the meth pants, really.
Oh, okay. So you're voting for meth pants. All right. It was a question of pants, really, this week. So two votes for the gator pants and one vote for meth pants. He did traffic on my show. Yeah, meth pants! So there you go.
Really wired every morning.
Yeah, well, sure, man.
Good old meth pants.
That was originally Bryan Cranston's name in Breaking Bad. Yeah, it was Meth Pants, Mr. Meth Pants. That's what the students called.
Thank God they had some rewrites.
Yeah, just a few Meth Pants. All right, Meth Pants and Gator Pants. And then we have rib roast pants.
Oh.
We have to make a whole family of pants. Anytime somebody shoves something down their pants, we have to add. We've had snake pants.
We've had snake pants.
Well, a lot of drugs. We've had
a lot of drugs.
Yeah, we've had cocaine pants, and so
I gotta say, I feel like rib roast pants probably does sports.
Yeah, rib roast pants, man. The Cubs won. Yeah, here's some saga. Hey, by the way, you know, I don't know, Tom. I don't know if you know the my love for the Canadian band Saga.
I do actually. I do.
Do you know they're coming to town?
Wait, are you serious?
Absolutely.
When?
They're playing the Arcata in October. Ooh. Yeah, you all right?
Yeah, sorry. I got really excited and hit
my head. Yeah, you want to talk about excitement. Saga, and for regular listeners of the show, I have kind of an obsessed love for this Canadian band called Saga, who I guess is best known for the song On the Loose. But I love that band. I love them. And I've talked about Saga many, many times. And actually, for my birthday, when Esmeralda Leon was still on the show doing traffic, she got, and what we discovered was, and this is crazy, that they have a huge fan base in Puerto Rico. For some reason, the Canadian band Saga has a massive fan base in Puerto Rico. So for my birthday, Esmeralda went online and got me the Puerto Rican tour concert shirt.
That's
of Saga,
ridiculous.
I will wear in October to the Arcata Theater.
Well, you know, maybe they come by.
Let's get him. Michael Sadler, lead singer. Let's get him in.
Come on, Mikey.
Oh man, Saga coming to town. It was really funny at North by Northwest Tuesday night at my film club screening. Somebody was sitting in our row because my parents and I, sit in sitting right next to my dad. I walk in and. I'm about to sit down and take my coat off, and she immediately says to me, Hey Nick, did you hear that Saga's coming to town? And I said, Yes, I did.
As a matter of fact.
She said that it was her husband or her boyfriend called her up and said, hey, make sure when you see Nick, make sure you tell him that Saga's coming to town. they have not been in Chicago, I mean, can't even tell you how many years. This is an 80s band that I liked.
Right, right.
And so it's going to be great. So Saga, coming to town, Arcata Theater.
Be there or
be there.
Square.
Exactly. All right. We're going to break here for the news, and when we come back, we'll jump into our regular features again, starting with Straight Outta Context. Yeah. So here's your a break in the news. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb.
Context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context. Context.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and we're in the middle of our regular Friday features. Coming up in just a little bit, Fly Jams Friday. DJ Luscious Hushus is going to take your requests. Get them in at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Right now, though, it's time for Straight Outta Context. This is when you guys listen to this radio station 24-7 with your ears peeled. Whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it makes you giggle and it's kind of dirty, jot it down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, Tom.
All right, our first one today is comedian Tim Cavanaugh, who's on the Steve Cochran Show the other day. He said this.
He can blow me off at the stage at any time.
And that was caught by Rick in Crest Hill.
Rick in Crest Hill. Good ears, Rick. Okay.
All right. And speaking of things out of context, here's Anna DeVlante's on the Rokan Show saying something.
Some of them are even longer than that, aren't they?
Yep.
who spotted that?
That was Brian. And Brian actually got a 2 this week. He got a real good one. Here's John Williams.
Brenda and I were doing it the other day because it was raining.
It's as good a time as any.
Hey, it's raining. Let's do it. That's funny. That's great. All right.
You know who doesn't appear on this a lot is Bill Leff, but Kelly from Elgin caught this.
Wendy, you are tight.
Oh, my God.
What a relationship they
oh
have.
Oh, my God. It's mostly his partner who appears on this segment. that was a good one, though. That was a good one. Good ear for the, from the listeners. All right.
And Night Owl caught this on the Bill and Wendy show. Another guest, this was Tony, who is a flower expert.
So it tends to flop when you get that big head on it.
You're taking care of your garden,
oh,
you know.
Oh, man. Got to take care of that garden. All right.
Now, Lou Manfredini was celebrating his birthday the other day, and Margaret heard this.
All I want to do is take my pants off.
What? What?
Happy birthday.
It's my birthday. I get to take my pants off in the studio.
HR?
That's what's going on.
Now, right. Unfortunately, Doug in Kansas City caught me saying this, and it's actually relevant to what we were talking about earlier. I'm a sucker for anybody putting anything down their pants. I really am.
Yeah. Well, that was from last week's dummies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Tim heard Kim Gordon saying this.
I'm just taking it all in.
It's from the Rokan show.
Of course it is. All right.
And now Bill left with a two for this
week.
Wow. I know. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Bill. This is Kelly from Elgin. Heard him.
This thing could blow at any moment.
Talk.
He's not going to outnumber Wendy this week, is he? Wow. Mm. We'll see. Okay.
Now, Jim Toronto was a guest on the...
Dean
Richards show, and he got caught saying this. You'll have to listen carefully.
I like shaved.
Okay.
And that was caught by Brian.
Brian.
For the first
filthy
time.
Filthy mind.
I know.
All right.
All right, next is Rokan again talking about something important to him.
I don't like when my fluid's all over the place, and this is a situation.
Oh, my God. We didn't have the warning beep there.
No.
Okay.
Just went straight. Had to get straight to it.
Head straight to Roe. Okay, what's next?
All right, next up we've got John and Roe. This is a twofer with John and Roe.
Is that the best length for you?
No, it's just a new length.
Oh, man.
That was caught by Hillary in Rogers Park.
That's the kind of dirty crosstalk that happens on this radio station. You got to keep your ears peeled.
Now, I hate to turn on a fellow producer, but here is Jazz Cooper, producer of the Bill and Wendy show. This was caught by Maria in Crystal Lake.
I just wanted Steve to get off.
And Cream playing in the background there. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. All right.
And then finally, John Williams yet again. This is Jim in Carbondale.
You should try. My sons and I did this a lot when they were younger.
Oh, man.
But I believe we've had a first. This is the first time that... Was Wendy on vacation at any time?
No. There were just...
Wow. Because when she goes on vacation, we don't get, you know, many submissions. This will be the first time she wasn't on and Bill was on twice.
I know.
That's a weird switch. It's a weird switcheroo-y. All right. We'll keep your ears peeled for all the filthy people on this radio station. And we'll do it again next week. Now we've got this...
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody. Spies.
Like us.
That's right. That's the theme for Nick D Show Spies. Again, this is up to you guys. You listen to this radio station 24/7, and whenever anybody at any time mentions me or the show, we want to know about it. You become a spy, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, Tom, let's do it.
All right, first one here. This is Mary Sandberg caught by Dawn from Marengo.
How much is that? Is that a lot of pot? A little pot?
That's a decent amount of pot, Steve.
It's enough to
unofficially
get you through the weekend.
Okay.
How many joints would that make? I'm going to need a number.
I'm going to go with 10.
And how many hits per joint?
Let's go with 6 hits per joint.
I think it depends on how hard you suck.
Oh, really?
Why do you guys know so much about this? It's scaring me.
Joe, you want to send that to Nick right away? You want to wait till the end of the week?
It's more Steve. More Steve, but...
That's pretty funny. Why were they talking about pot?
Well, they were talking about legalization and how much is allowed.
You know, back in the day, you would get a nickel bag,
a dime bag,
and the big one would be a lid. If you got a lid,
you say
a lid. If you got a lid of pot, you were definitely ready for the weekend. Hey, yeah, man, let's go get a lid.
I love Mark Carmen on that. I'd say about 10 joints there, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
Very sportsmanlike.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, those old terms don't exist anymore.
Nah, man.
You can't go you can't go to the medical marijuana for your glaucoma and go, give me a lid.
No.
That's not going to...
You got to speak in right... You got to get a quad.
It's
half-o.
Oh, I used to... My friends would always be like, you know, yeah, man, I'm going to go grab a nickel bag.
Or a tent. Well, I mean, they still kind of exist.
Dime bag, nickel bag, and lid, I believe, were the three amounts of pot choices in the 70s.
Yeah. You can still call, you can still get like a 10 spot.
Yeah.
But I think that's more general drug stuff, so we can't get
into right. Well, all right. Pot talk here on WGN. All right. What's next?
All right. Next up, Dave Ennett was caught by Brian.
There's the Beyond Burger and the Impossible Burger, and I think I heard Nick saying that the Impossible Burger is the one that is a Burger King is doing the Impossible Whopper.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right, one. That's right, and well, thanks for the mention, Dave. Thanks for listening.
Honestly, buddy, you're a big hit on the Steve Cochran Show this week because these are all from the Steve.
They're
Cochran
all from Cochran Show.
They're all from Cochran.
Oh,
Show.
Oh, wow! All right.
And then this last one, also caught by Brian, was Steve Cochran himself.
I love it, Steven Crackers.
Steven Crackers.
Perfect.
It does work. And it, you know those cheese balls? They cover them in nuts. You know, it used to be popular at parties.
Oh, I don't want any nuts on them.
No nuts.
From the 70s.
Why is it that everything you've said this week is something like perfectly crafted for Nick's out of context?
You know, Joe Romano, if you're out there, do me a favor and just send these to me. Just take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the reasons why Mary Sandberg is so often featured. She talks about a lot of eating, like a lot of food stuff on Steve's show. And people just go, anytime anybody's mouth is in, you know, is involved in any kind of conversation, it immediately becomes sexual to everybody who's listening.
Of course.
But I love Steve acknowledging that, as soon as something comes out of their mouth, he's like, hey, just get that ready for, he said, hey, Joe, you want to send that to Nick now or you want to wait till the end of the week?
Anytime, you guys. Anytime.
All right. Well, keep it going, everybody. I'd like to know when people are talking about me on this radio station because I'm paranoid. So you listen 24/7, and whenever anybody mentions me, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and of course you send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Let's do the intro and then we'll break.
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
There it is. That's right. Fly Jams Friday. Want to play your introduction, DG?
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushes, baby.
That's right. DJ Luscious Hushes is here. I'm Wiki Wiki Nicky, and Viggity Viggity Vic, Verified Double V, running around like the news in the newsroom like a lunatic. You want to get your requests in? We're talking about R&B. We're talking about funky stuff. We're talking about Fly Jams Friday. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Fly Jam Friday gets kicked off with a great one. Who requested that?
That was Sam, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Midnight Train to Georgia.
You got
to
be, you know, I love when people would go, hey, what's your occupation? I'm a pip. I am a pip. Classic song. It's Fly Jams Friday, man. Let's hear Luscious Hushus again.
I put it away.
Oh, you put it away. Yeah. All right. That's all right.
You get one.
You get one. One Luscious Hushus. Well, he's here, and he's got the requests going. It's Fly Jams Friday. Anything R&B, anything funky. 312-981-7200. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right here on WGN. All right. We got more requests here?
Oh, of course we do. All next right. up, we got a little bit of Casey and the Sunshine Band, and this is coming to us from Mike in Louisville, and it's a classic.
You know, I don't think people realize just how big Casey and the Sunshine Band was in the 70s.
Really?
Oh, my God.
They were like the band.
They were huge in the 70s. They had hit after hit after tasty hit. Yeah. And they were...
They just don't make them like that anymore.
Well, he's still touring, Casey.
Really?
Yeah. But you know what he does a lot, though? He does like the... He's on the cruise ship circuit.
Oh, okay.
So, like, when they have, like, a disco cruise, he's usually the headliner along with a whole bunch of other disco artists from the 70s. He does a lot of that. He does a lot of the cruise ship stuff. Oddly, so does Saga.
Yeah. The Saga cruise.
They've got a cruise coming up called Prague Cruise, because they're kind of considered a prog rock band, mm-hmm. Saga. So there's a Prague cruise with members of Asia.
Asia!
And a whole bunch of other... A bunch of other like prog rock bands,
yeah.
And Saga's done those tours many times. Oh, I have to research and find out when the last time Saga was here.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. It's got to be
decades.
It's got to be 30 years.
Wow,
25, 30 years, I would guess.
Can't wait to see him.
Yeah,
can't wait.
The lead singer used to have a fantastic, beautiful head of hair mullet in the mid 80s, early 80s. He's bald now.
Oh,
shaven head.
Oh
yeah,
nothing lasts forever.
That's right. So, all right. What's the next request for Fly Jams Friday?
All right, next Fly Jam is a personal favorite of mine. Oh. It's Jungle Love.
Oh, classic
by Morris Day and the Time.
Morris Day,
and this is coming to us from Steve.
Yeah. That's such a great song.
It just makes me think of Jay and Silent Bob.
Really? It doesn't make you think of Purple Rain?
No, believe it or not. Believe it or not, because they just have a bit. I want to say it's in Jay and Silent Bob.
It's
Strike Back.
It's in Strike Back, yeah.
Where they're singing Jungle.
Yeah.
$15, little man.
Yeah.
It just gets me.
You know, I literally ran into Morris Day.
Yeah, you mentioned. Yeah. I can't even imagine what that was
in
like.
It was in the hallway in the first floor when we were still on the first floor in the Tribune building when WGN was still on the first floor. And they were doing a concert in Pioneer Court right next door. And they used our green room as their like place to get ready and for the concert. And so I was walking towards the back studio and I literally turned the corner and bumped into Morris Day. And he's about 3 feet tall. He's a very small dude.
Flying.
But he had the fantastic suit on. He looked great. Jerome was right next to him. Didn't have a mirror with him, though. I was very upset about that.
Oh,
so
that's too bad.
Yeah. I saw those guys in concert about three times the time. And Jimmy Jam and Huey Lewis and Terry Thomas. Nice. Oh, you don't know about Huey Lewis and Terry Thomas. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. That's their real names. They were members of the time, and then they went on to become some of the biggest producers of all time, producing all the big Janet Jackson records and stuff like that. And I refer to them, you don't know this, but I refer to them as Huey Lewis and Terry Thomas. Terry Thomas being a gap-toothed British actor from the 60s who did a lot of wacky comedies. Ask your family about Terry Thomas.
I will.
Ask your family about Terry Thomas.
I guarantee they'll know.
They will absolutely know who he is. And if you see a picture of him, you'll know who he is. But anyway, I laughingly refer to them as Huey Lewis and Terry Thomas. So, all right, what's next?
All right, next up is Magic, You Gotta Get Up. And this is to Dino, who wanted to hear this.
All right, Dino.
If only it would do what I told it to.
There you go. People, get up, let's do the music. Work your body, but don't abuse it. Don't hesitate, you. Just take a chance. Don't have to make you. On the floor, yo, stay. Now's the time, yo, to dance the night, okay. Yeah, that's funky. Hey, by the way, I was just looking up. Dean's doing his weekend report on Channel 9 right now.
Oh, yeah?
Penn and Teller in town.
Huh.
They're playing the Genesee.
Very nice.
I had no idea. We were talking about Penn and Teller. You did write down Penn and Teller Get Killed, right?
That I did.
Okay. Directed by Arthur Penn. All right, what's next?
All right, next up, this one looks like it's...
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. The Sugar Hill Gang, speaking of fly jams, are playing the City Winery. I don't know why I find that so funny. But
it's very apropos.
Yeah? All right, what do we got?
All right, next up, it's a Mother's Day request here. Always Love My Mama by The Intruders, and this is coming to us from the 773.
That's pretty good. That's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I like
nice.
That. Very nice.
Yeah, very nice timing on that one. Very, very good. Okay, we got time for, I believe, one more.
Yeah, one more quick one. Clarence yeah. Carter with Patches, and this is coming to us from a fellow Tom. Times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised. Well, it paid the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed. Put his hand.
All right. There you go. All right. We'll see Luscious Hushus again next Friday, and we'll do it again for Fly Jams Friday. All right. We're going to take a break. The news is coming up next. We'll be back on Monday morning with the Monday morning movie reviews, my dad's joke, and much more news after this.